The Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. Nothing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Your discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
And hello to all you BM eaters out there at Don and Mike Land. Hey, it's me, your old buddy Rob Spiewak, calling in from my shiny plexiglass weather desk. As I'm sure you've already guessed, the Don and Mike Show is in best of today. And the reason, well, it's fairly obvious, folks. I've decided to have emergency elective surgery. No, I'm kidding, of course. The real reason is the fact, and perhaps you've heard something about it, is we've had a bit of weather here on the East Coast. Yes, snow has crippled the metro area. Now, if you've watched the local news, you're probably under the impression that the D.C. roads are getting to be quite passable. And that might indeed be the case if your residence happens to be on Connecticut Avenue in Washington, D.C. But unfortunately, the Don and Mike Show staff has just sold their downtown group home. What bad timing. And sadly, many of the Don and Mike Zoo crew are yet to have a snowplow visit their neighborhood, so getting to the office today was just not feasible. 2 feet, no matter what you hear, is a lot of snow. Are you kidding me? The drifts are higher than Joe Ardinger out there. But up bump, I want to tell you. But seriously, folks, if we could have done it, we would have come in today to do a live show. Believe me. I spoke to Don Geronimo this morning, and he said if you'd like to get an idea of the mood at his house, just rent the movie Misery and imagine Don as James Caan's ankles experiencing the sweet agony of his family as represented by Kathy Bates' sledgehammer. It's that bad. This man wants out of the house. So believe me when I say that we'll do everything in our power to be in tomorrow to do a brand new live show for ye, and you do not want to miss it, and here's why. Because tomorrow you will hear the thrilling tale of how we, America, almost lost radio's Mike O'Mara. Yes, death courted the talented mimic as his weakened body laid motionless in his snow-covered driveway. He's okay now, but you don't want to miss the story of how we were almost forced to say a premature goodbye to a national treasure. So yes, Don and Mike are fine, eager to get to work. And as for the rest of us, well, Charlie and Lisa are safe and sound in their heart-shaped igloo that he built for her. Joe Ardinger has been cowering in his safe room since Friday night, and I myself, I'm having a great time, just the time of my life, listening to all the great programming on WJFK. Because, listen, nothing warms you like the sounds of Bill O'Reilly. Now, on a sad note, we're not sure what's happened to him, but no one has been able to get in touch with Buzz Burbank. Pray for him. Pray for our newsman. Buzz Burbank, lost in the blizzard of 03. And until tomorrow, enjoy the best of Don and Mike.
I know we don't rate women on the show anymore,
right?
But I must bring a woman forward that I don't think we've rated before.
Okay.
And I must tell you that I give her a low rating.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. From the neck up.
Right.
From the neck down, I think she's okay. Her name is, you're going to have to forgive me if I don't get her name right. Is it Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Jennifer Love Hewitt, yeah. She's the, you know, I know what you did
last summer.
Yeah, and I don't say this in a derogatory way, but she is the flavor of the month. She is the hottest thing in Hollywood right now.
Well, I don't know what that flavor is, if it's pralines and cream or pistachio, but she is one dirty-looking girl.
Jennifer Love Hewitt. Now I've got, I get so many of those scream, I know what you did last summer girls.
And I know what you did last summer.
Yeah.
She's the girl with, and she got some major league elbows.
Oh, her?
She's the one that goes running out into the field and she says, "Come on! What are you waiting for?"
Sure.
Right? I'm watching a little bit of that movie on, don't know what channel it was on today, but slipping by and looking at it and thinking about her, and I'm thinking, you know, I know that we said we're not going to rate women anymore.
She's very hot.
However, Jennifer Love Hewitt, in my book, she's a six.
Oh, my God.
She's a six because her okay, her hair is stringy.
Yeah, you're right about
that. Her hair is oily.
You're right about that.
And when I say she looks like a dirty girl, I don't mean she's
dirty in a good way.
Yeah, like naughty dirty.
I mean, she's dirty like...
Like hasn't washed dirty.
Like you and me right now.
Right,
like sweaty and...
I would say you and I are still holding up better than Jennifer Love Hewitt in certain scenes in that movie. I know what you mean about the hair, where... And it's the hair that hangs down and it separates, which indicates the oily factor.
What, you like her, Rob?
I think she's an eight.
You think she's an eight?
I do. And also, she does, like, she does a soap commercial. I think it might be...
Really?
Regina? Yeah.
Well, I've never seen the commercial.
She looks awfully clean and fresh-faced in that.
I have only seen her in the movie I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I don't check her out in Party of Five,
I think I'd agree with Rob that she's an eight, but I would give her the only the demerits because of the fact that she doesn't look like she's washed. But a six, that's a very low number.
That's pretty low. All right, so listen, well, that's just my opinion. Okay. And, you know, opinions are like a-holes. Excuse me, Buzz. Everybody's got one.
Of course.
Another woman that I wanted to rate, and I know we haven't done this before. I'm going to open it up.
All right.
Star Trek Voyager, 7 of 9.
She's the one in that bodysuit, right?
Right. I never watched Star Trek Voyager, but I happened to watch it the other night. She is a solid 7.5.
You're not going to give her the 8, though?
No, I can't give her the 8 because I think her face is a little fuggly.
Well, didn't she cover it up with some of that alien
she's
makeup?
She's only got the Borg, like, over her... left eye.
But it does obscure a good portion of her face. Well, I mean, you know, you don't see the full countenance.
The episode that I watched was where they were all put into stasis.
Right.
Because they were going through the eye of some storm, and the doctor, who is a hologram, he was running the ship, and she was the only other person that was alive on the ship. So so 7 of 9 was the total focus.
I can't give an educated rating on her because I really haven't seen her in a lot of action. You know, I'd like you to rate another woman for me since we are on the subject.
Please do.
Since the door is partially open for
this
subject.
It's a jar. Door is a jar.
The wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. I am interested.
Oh, okay, good. That's good. I just watched that show last night.
She's a new TV mommy.
She's an 8. I know a lot of you out there think I'm retarded, that I would say Jennifer Love Hewitt is a 6.
Right.
And Raymond's wife is an 8.
I give her a 7.
But I'm telling you, Raymond's wife, she exudes sexuality.
I give her a 7 for just looks alone. I give her a 9 for TV moms. I think she's the best TV mom to come along in decades.
She certainly is hotter than Tim Allen's wife, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hotter and a much funnier. She is the funny part of that show because she plays it so realistic.
And you know what else I like? Half her scenes are in bed with Raymond, and she's always creaming herself.
Everybody loves Raymond.
Have you noticed that she's always
she's creaming her
always
legs?
Always creaming her legs, creaming her hands.
Yes, she is. Yes,
on her arms.
Yes, like
Tiny Tim.
Yes, Mr. Don, I use Paquin's hand cream all over my body.
Hello, Don Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Heather.
Yes, Heather.
Boy, Heather, that's just about the funniest thing I've ever heard. You just started laughing right off the bat.
I'm a first-time caller.
Yes, baby.
And I'm petrified.
Miss Baby, yes.
But this little baby wants her belated birthday spanking.
Oh.
And I've been the ice cubes in my refrigerator to cool y'all down.
Oh, you got ice cubes?
You know, we would like you to do an ice cube trick for us first, and then we'd be glad to spank you.
Well, what kind of trick would I do with an ice cube? It can melt.
All right, well, here's what you do. It's a little experiment into how humans react to different temperatures.
Yeah, it's a body temperature experiment.
Okay, now, are you by your ice box right now?
I am. I have to sit on a chair because I'm very petite, so wait a minute.
How tall are you, honey?
I'm 4'10".
4'10"? Oh, that's a perfect height.
Hey, who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble there, Heather?
I've been told I resemble Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Whoa.
And her? She's a solid 8 in my book.
Yeah, she is a solid 8.
Well, I realize that I just rated her the same as Raymond's wife, but
But my hair is longer.
One man's 8 is another man's 4.
Everybody loves Buffy.
Everybody loves Buffy.
What we would like you to do, Heather, is, let me ask you, are you wearing a shirt right now?
I'm wearing a T-shirt.
A
sleeveless little, you know, like a... Yeah.
Do you have a brassiere on?
No, I don't believe in them.
Beautiful. Me either.
Oh. I hate them. I have turkey little breasts, so I don't need a bra.
Yeah, very nice.
Bravo, bravo. It's a temperature, if you're monitoring, it has just gone up a degree.
And Mike, even though, have you noticed that now since we've started talking to Heather?
Yes.
Don't seem to notice the fact that it's like hot as hell in here.
I'll tell you right now, the troubles are melting away.
Heather, what we would like you to do is do an experiment for us. Take an ice cube.
Uh-huh.
And put it over the part of your breasticle.
Uh-huh.
where, you know, the...
The perky part is.
That's right, the perkiest part.
Okay. There you go. I got the ice cube on the perky part.
Are you now, doing it right now?
I saw this trick in the movie Showgirls.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is take one ice cube in each hand.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Between your thumb and your forefinger.
Uh-huh.
Then put them over the perkiest parts.
Uh-huh.
Rub them vigorously.
Yes,
and then
clockwise.
Yes, and tell us what happens.
Well, you know what happens.
No, we'd like to hear what happens.
Now, what's the rating of this show again?
We're rated R.
Rated P.
Rated P.
Perverted. Are you doing it, Heather?
It's very, very cold, and yet everything's standing at attention.
Oh, bravo!
Yes.
Yeah, you succeeded in phase one of the experiment.
Well, what I was hoping to do was have to cool my hiney down with my ice cube after I got my spanking.
Well, you might just have to do that.
Cool, you, did you say your hiney?
Yes.
Your hiney, that is so funny.
Yeah, the first thing to do when it starts to hurt is to ice the area.
That's right. That's what I'm waiting for.
Well, first do the thing again with your perkies.
No.
Oh, please.
Been there and done that. I'm ready to ice my hiney.
She wants right. to get spanked.
Right. Ice your hiney.
Do you have a riding crop?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, could I have that? Could I use that?
The thing that we beat Lewis's ass with? Yeah, Rob, where's your riding crop? All right, well, I'll use the ice pick if you don't mind.
Oh, boy, that would save it.
No, ice pick. You can't cool from an ice pick. You'd cool from a riding crop.
Now, I'd just like to remind you, you are the recipient, and you have to start behaving yourself. We're going to spank you any way we see fit, okay?
Oh, now, come on.
Yeah, baby.
Okay, master, what do you want?
There we go. Oh, I love that. Like, I dream a genie. All right. Pull your pants down.
Okay.
All the way.
Okay.
Underpants, too.
Okay.
So we see your hairy Valentine.
I'm not very hairy Valentine.
How old are you?
I'm 36.
36 today. All right, well, I'm going to pull out the ice pick.
Okay.
And listen, I want some response to this, okay?
Okay.
And one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All right, oh, hold on there. Hold on. We're waiting for the riding crop now.
I'm Rob going to...
There he is. He's got
he's
it.
He's got
right.
it.
All right.
Wait, here's the riding crop. Thank
right,
you, Robbie. And, Mike, you pick up on 17, please.
All right. Here we go. 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24.
You realize what a pervert you look like sitting over there? I mean, that's one thing.
26...
27, 28, wait, 29, keep you. Hey, quiet down.
30, 34,
32,
33, 33, 34, 38, 35, 51,
36. There you go. How old were you today?
36. 36.
Now,
okay, now let me get my ice cube.
Ice your hiney now.
Okay, wait, your ice cube?
Yeah, ice it down.
Okay.
Ice it down. Well, you're
if you were here, I'd put some ice on you, too.
I was trying to get the right sound with it. You know, and I only mastered it right at the end there, that little...
There we go. All right. I love that ice cube trick. I saw that in Showgirls when the girl from Saved by the Bell
uh-huh.
is standing up on stage.
Uh-huh.
And the guy who's like the pimp of the Vegas show
yes.
comes up and goes, baby, I got to see what you're doing. Take some ice cubes.
Oh, my favorite ice cube scene is John Hurt and Kathleen Turner. And body heat.
Oh, body yeah. heat.
That's a
oh,
good
yeah.
one, too.
Yeah, they look really happy in the ice and the tub there. yeah.
That movie, Showgirls, that was one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah.
Although I still watch it every time it's on. And that movie also got me in a boatload of trouble with my wife.
Because you were watching it?
No. Well, yeah. But also because a long time ago... When we had gone down to Memphis for
yes.
one Elvis Death Day,
mm-hmm.
right. we had stopped at a strip club down there called Danny's out by the airport.
Danny's!
And we each had gotten a lap dance and our...
Your wife got a lap dance.
Oh, no. It was me and Mike.
No, we were down on the road, you know, going down to do one of our road broadcasts, and Danny's was right near the airport.
And as a matter of fact, we got lap dances, and then we tried to get a lap dance for our ex-producer. And he said, that's where I draw the line. And we came back, and we talked about it on the radio.
Right.
And my wife asked me for years and years, what is a lap dance? I said, honey, it's, you know, it's nothing. The girls just stand in front of you and they dance.
Yeah.
And she went, oh, okay. And then we were watching Showgirls.
And they showed a lap dance.
And they showed a lap dance.
And they showed, in fairness, now just in fairness here, they showed a lap dance that was like 10 times more. I don't want to say better.
That's right.
That's what I said, but that didn't work for me.
No, it didn't, because the lap dance, you know, they're practically making love to the guys in these lap dances.
Right.
Well, the lap dance in the movie you're describing is far more than what you get when you go to an actual strip bar.
Well, how would you know?
I've had a lap dance.
Really? You've gone to a strip bar? A bar?
Oh, I go with my husband. Yes, I do. I don't mind it. I'm very self-assured of myself, and I kind of enjoy it. I love a pretty woman, but that doesn't mean that I, you know, trip like fantastic or anything.
Did you ice your hiney?
My husband can if he wants.
No, I said, did you ice your hiney?
I already did that.
Oh, you already did that.
No,
I have a few welts, but I'm okay.
Do you and your husband allow others into the boudoir?
No, that's a fantasy.
It's a fantasy.
Strictly fantasy.
But nothing you've ever really lived.
No, I mean, you really tell me how a normal couple that's been together years and years actually finds someone that you can trust. And, you know, I mean, it's nice to fantasize, but I don't think it really happens.
Yes, we do. All right, well, listen, be sweet.
I always am. And I enjoy listening to your show. It's the first, absolute first talk show on the radio that I've enjoyed and don't mind listening to. And you fellas,
I guarantee you'll never hear Rush Limbaugh have a girl put ice cubes on her nipples.
No way. Won't happen. Absolutely not. Thank you.
Thank you, Heather. Hello. Make sure Heather always gets through when she calls.
Yeah, I'm just Heather. No. It's just a little fantasy that we have, and I'm 410. Hi.
You know, if we could just get 3 more hours of calls like that, I guarantee we wouldn't even bitch about how hot it is. And now that Heather is not on the phone,
yes, the temperature starts to go up.
Suddenly, I've realized we're crotch pot cooking again. Hello,
Don, Mike, radio guy.
Hey, my friend.
You don't get enough. You don't get enough promotion here in Tampa. I've been listening to you since you've been on the air here about 4.5 years.
Yeah, we are. We've always been a little disappointed in the Tampans.
We are the great undiscovered secret of Tampa Bay.
Well, I think you're a little more popular than you realize. I hear you on the radio where I go to the 7-Eleven coming out of somebody's car or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I wish somebody would tell the goddamn ratings company then, because, you know, the station we're on in Tampa? We've been on a station that has, I think, it's got the Sunflower Seed Eater in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and then the G-Man. We love G. Gordon Liddy. Yep. And then us, you know, and except for Imus, that's a pretty good lineup.
Absolutely.
And still the station can't crack a one share in the ratings.
Yeah, we get lots of calls from Tampa. We do. We seem to get a lot of support on the phones, and we'd like to have that show up, and it hasn't shown up yet.
Well, they promote Imus. They've got the buses driving around town with this big, ugly mug on plastic side.
Maybe that's the problem right there.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yes.
She was on Regis and Kathy Lee this morning.
Oh, was she really?
Damn. Yeah.
How's she look?
I agree with Rob. Now, I used to agree with Don. She kind of looks a little unwashed.
She's a six, man.
She looked great this morning. She had her hair pulled back.
Her body, you know, is an 8.5.
And she looked like an 8 this morning. I got to agree with Rob. She looked like she was about 16 years old.
Wish I had an 8x10 glossy of her, because I'm having trouble putting her in my mind.
Skinny face.
Yeah, I know.
Skinny body, big boobs.
Just the huge boobs are. That's all that. I know what you did last summer is basically, I know where your boobs are.
Yeah, right.
That's what they should call that movie.
Right. God, she's got some big boobs. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Bueno, Augusto, guys.
Hey, my friend.
Hey, you know your song, Can't Get Enough of You, Baby?
It's Can't Get Enough of You, Buzzy.
Yeah.
Tribute to Guy Birdley.
The only reason I got into that song was because Jennifer Love Hewitt is in the video, and she's singing along to the words, and her breasts are shaking as she sings.
This is a woman who's captured America by storm. You can tell by
two
the
good
response.
Reasons for that, right?
Absolutely.
I maintain, woman's a six.
America loves big, beautiful breasts.
Now, if she cleans herself up, you know, perhaps she could climb up to an 8.
I would have liked to see her with the hair pulled back on the Regis and Kathy Lee show.
And I notice that you're now punctuating all of your comments by disappointing the writing crop.
I believe that, you know, it's been a long time. I believe the duck caller may have been the last prompt that I ever had, but there's something about this that I just, I like bending it. This is the real deal. This Rob, this writing crop is an authentic, real one, and it's very well constructed, and I
and as you put
chief
your,
joy.
As you put your hands all over it, I'd like to remind you that that was against Lewis's skin.
Oh,
and
man.
And you're smelling it. It
smells like root beer.
Hello. Root beer and cheese, right? Hello.
Hello.
Dynamite Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Baldy.
Love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Just want to let you know, you were talking about the lap dance and showgirls.
Mm-hmm.
They shot that at the Cheetah in Las Vegas, and I went out there a couple of months ago with a bunch of my buddies.
The Cheetah Club?
Yeah.
All the cheetahs.
You can get a dance just like that in the movie in what they call the back room.
Oh. Well, thanks a lot. I think you've ruined it for a lot of guys right now.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, Baldy.
Have you ever heard of artificial stimulation, taking a frozen banana with a condom and a girl said it'll dry?
Oh, slow down, please.
All I heard is artificial stimulation,
condom, banana.
Come on, slow down, please.
Taking a frozen banana with a condom, using that as artificial stimulation, girls say it drives them nuts.
Really?
Yes.
Is it the cold temperature?
I'd love to hear if any listeners. I spoke to a girl personally. She said it did.
Slow down.
Hold on.
Slow down. Take some breaths.
I think this guy's a member of the Beach Towel Club.
Okay, I've done a good breathing.
Now, you're talking about taking a frozen banana, putting it in a condom, and then pleasuring a woman with that?
Yes.
And is it the temperature that has the desired effect?
Yeah, because she's used both without the temperature. She said she'd rather have a cold.
She'd rather have a nice cold one.
Oh, yeah.
And a woman has let you do this to her?
Oh, no.
No, I didn't think so.
Did she do it with a regular banana, too, that wasn't frozen? Wouldn't that be too mushy?
No, that's what she said. It just gets too mushy.
That would follow. Yeah, but you've never done that.
No. I will be trying it.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. Yeah, right. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
See you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, he'll be trying it. He'll be trying it when he closes his eyes at night.
Right. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Down the mic?
Yeah.
Hey, guys. I was just... about the temperature that you guys were talking, you probably know already this, but your wife is probably wrong by saying...
I've got a question. Is everyone that's calling the show now eating caramels? I'm just kind of curious, right? There's a second guy going...
No, hello?
I was eating Twizzlers.
Twizzlers.
All right, well, he was eating.
He was eating. I thought so.
Okay.
Anyhow, by your wife saying that the temperature of the oven, if you put something at a higher temperature, it would cook, it wouldn't cook quicker.
Yes.
It's kind of not the same as lowering the temperature in the thermostat.
I believe I didn't detect the accent.
Yeah, it's Ahmed calling up.
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. No, serious. If you lower your temperature in the thermostat, it's not going to get any cooler faster.
Right.
Really? Okay. Well, thank you. But my wife yells at me about that all the time. But I will still set the thermostat as low as possible.
Yeah, but you tell her she's wrong.
Tell her she's wrong. Or you tell her she's wrong. Okay.
Yeah, right.
All right. You try living with her.
The temperature of the oven would be not correct to do it that way.
Hello. I go home tonight and say, honey, some cab driver called and said you're wrong.
He said you're very wrong, and I was eating a Twizzler.
And, honey, do we have any bananas in the house?
Yeah. Freeze them up.
Hello.
Hello, Dynamite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a great gentleman's relish tape for you.
A gentleman relish tape?
Yeah.
Okay, is it something we can put on our airwaves?
It has been screened.
Where did the tape come from?
The two fat ladies.
Oh, the two fat ladies!
Oh, is this the tape that someone called us about?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, all right, fantastic. Please let us hear it.
All right, hold on.
Okay.
Here it comes.
All right.
This is great.
This will be worth it, I hope.
Now, what we're going to do is spread it with lovely gentleman's reddish. I love it for breakfast.
Oh. You know, hold on. You got to rewind it and play it again, and we'll try not to cackle so much through it.
Okay, hold on a second.
These are these two fat British ladies that have a food show.
Oh, they're funny. They really are.
So what is gentleman's relish in the context she's using it?
Probably a food stuff, I would think.
Yeah, it's an anchovy paste.
Okay.
Oh, you bet it's an anchovy paste, Buzz. All right, let's hear that again, please.
Okay, hang on. Very, very old VCR.
God, this is great.
I got another one where they're talking about making coq au vin with an old cock.
You know, that's brilliant. The roll tape on those ladies. I didn't think they could give us so much.
All right, let's hear the gentleman's relish.
Okay, here we go. Hang on.
She likes it for breakfast.
Sorry. Who doesn't, Buzz?
I'll just trim off some of these mother untidy bits.
I love the way they talk.
Now, what we're going to do is spread it with lovely gentleman's relish, which I adore. It's made of anchovies. And it's very good for breakfast. I love it for breakfast. I like strong-tasting things, not your wishy-washy cereals.
How's that?
Hey, that's good. You know, we need a copy of that, say.
I'll make a tape of this for you. Do you want to hear the other one?
Yeah, sure, sure.
Okay. Hang on.
Sure.
They're great, those ladies.
Two fat broads.
Two fat ladies, yes, and they cook with lard quite a bit.
Oh, my God, they're obese.
They really are.
Imagine if they were in this room right now.
Oh, my God, it would be. I think it would smell like gentleman's relish in here.
Is it getting cooler in here? And what does gentleman's relish smell like, Mike?
It smells like anchovy paste, Don. Absolutely.
Very salty. Very salty.
Okay, here we go on the other one.
Is it me, or is it getting cooler in here?
Feels like it might be turned on.
Really?
Free-range chicken, because originally this dish was made with an old cock. Not an old hen, an old cock. There's no use keeping it one, you know, when it's past its prime.
An old cock she's talking about, right?
Oh, yeah, like an old rooster.
Oh, that is right. Great. Listen, we got to get those tapes. Hold on. Where are you calling from?
Baltimore City.
Baltimore. Thanks for listening.
That's
hold
terrific.
On. Let me give you a prize. You send us those tapes, okay?
You got it.
All right. Hold on a second.
Gentlemen, you spread it with lovely gentlemen's relish.
I love it in the morning. Two fat bras. Hello, Dynamite Show. Hello.
Yeah, is this Rob A or no?
Yeah, hi.
Okay, I was just going to tell them, or Don and Mike, that I'm a little nervous here.
Please hurry up. I've got many things to do.
All right, would Jennifer Love Hewitt check out the movie Can't Hardly Wait?
What?
The movie Can't Hardly Wait.
All right, we're done. Let me tell you, as Rob Bay, my job is to screen out calls like this, and they are done talking about Jennifer Love Hewitt, okay?
Of course.
I've got lots of things to do, okay? Do you understand? I am Rob Bay. Okay? I'm Rob Bay. So please don't call me again and bother me with such trivial details.
Okay, Rob Bay. I understand.
Thank you. Goodbye. Go away. I am Rob Bay. Say hey.
Sounded good, Rob Bay.
Thank you.
Sound even better on the radio.
Hang up now.
All right, my secret's out of the bag. All right.
I'm not even hip to the fact that it's you. Goodbye.
Well, that is the movie, buddy. Rob Bay.
All right, buddy. Right. Okay. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Hang up now. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don, how you doing, man?
Doing great, thank you.
Sure, you guys are hot today. Hey, I want to share something with you.
No S, Sherlock.
I wanted to share a technique in masturbation that I just came by on the internet.
You know, all guys are now, we're all supposed to react by going, oh, come on, but then again, you know, everybody's ears perk up.
Yes.
This thing's called The Stranger.
And that's not all that perked up.
And you sit on your hand until it falls asleep, and then you masturbate, and it feels like somebody else is doing it to you.
Okay, great, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good
one. Let me see if I got that. You wait till your hand feels like ginger ale.
Yeah, right. You know what I think? Too much of a time commitment.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hey, Don, do you have the munchies?
Nope. Why don't you eat me?
There you go. Eat Hello. That. Hey, have your munchies. Eat that, my friend.
Don on my show. Hello.
Oh, dear. Oh, no.
Hello.
We have never really been able to decipher the origin of this sound.
Moo moo, coo coo. How you doing?
What?
I want the pants to come back to Florida.
Oh, come on, Pilar.
Knock it off, Pilar.
Oh, but you never believe that it's me.
Not even a real Pilar. Hello, Dynamite.
Hi.
Oh, my goodness, we got to do a break. We haven't done a commercial set for a
while. Wait, I got a better name for Gentleman's Relish.
No, listen.
Number three.
All right, that's not bad, but we're going to stick with Gentleman's Relish.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia, also Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? The Tom Gavin Show right here. Fairfax, Virginia, it's snowing out there. Guys, watch the road. It's icy. It's icy out there, guys. give us a call, 560-55. We're going to have Incredible Johnson coming on next after these commercials. We're going to be running some PSAs.
Annandale Weston, 94.5, WCXS, Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah, that's right. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there, guys? Today is my anniversary on my show today. Give me a call, 560-55-56055. WCXS 94.5, Fairfax, Virginia. Also, Warner Cable 27. How y'all doing out there? I got a special request. The people of it, WNVT, Channel 53 and 56. Fred just called in. Give us a call back, Fred, if you need any more requests. Yeah, hey y'all doing that there? This is the Tom Gavin Show. Everybody over there at Channel 53 can call 560-55-56055.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Great show last night.
The Guinness Show.
Yes. And as you know, we're planning on sending Lutard out to Las Vegas to ride the world's tallest roller coaster to set another world record for the Guinness Book of World Records.
Yeah, we love that show and we're into world records.
So we've been talking about that, and this guy called us last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that there are some really lame records in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Sure, but you know, that's what it's for.
But this guy, perhaps, okay, now you're with us. What's your first name?
My name's Jeremy.
This guy, perhaps, is going to attempt to set the lamest world's record of all, and we would like to help in any way that we possibly can. Please tell everybody what the world record is that you're going to attempt to set.
Well, it may sound lame, but I think it's pretty good. We're trying to set a record, world's record, for the longest duration of listening to 106.7 while sitting in a tent for 24 hours a day for 7 days in the entire week.
So these guys are going to listen to our home station, WJFK, for one full week in a tent.
Now, have you checked this out with the records people? I mean, is this the longest period of time listening to one radio station?
I believe this will be the longest period of time, correct, yeah.
Oh, can you? It's such a stupid record. Can you believe that anybody would have said it first? I mean, that's what makes me think that these guys might have a shot at it. And they called the show because they wanted to know if we would sanction it and talk about it.
I think that's a great idea.
You know, give them some pub on it.
And we can maybe find out some information from the Guinness people, too.
Sure.
Now, are you guys going to be naked in the tent? Or?
Hey, we will do in this tent whatever you want us to do in this tent. We're pretty much giving you free reign.
Now, how long, when are you planning on starting this?
This is going to be September 13th, which is a Sunday, and we're going to go through the whole week until, what's it going to be, the 18th and 19th.
Well, listen, I am a company man, and I heartily endorse all of the programming on WJFK, but I got to think that when you get to Sunday, you guys are going to have a problem.
Jesus,
because
Sunday night, my God.
On Sunday, they run this lame CBS mystery theater on this station.
Well, I guess it was Jeremy Coleman, wasn't it, that decided to put it on.
Let me just say, more people listen to the police band radios than listen to this station on Sunday night.
I was going
to
call you. I was driving along on Sunday night. I was actually going to call your house. I was going to call, but I realized it would be the message was going to be, what the hell is this? That's what, I'd never heard anything like it.
It's the worst. It's like they sound like bad 1940s style radio plays.
They sound like modern day, you know, people trying to do what they did back in the 40s. The people in the, you know, in the 40s at least did it the right way.
Oh, it's the worst. Because, listen, the station that we're on here, WJFK, they got a pretty solid lineup, right? They got Stern, and then the G-Man, and then us,
right?
And then the Sports Junkies. That's a pretty solid lineup, Monday through Friday. But then when the weekend comes, do you realize that during the week, WJFK is like the fifth-rated radio station in Washington, D.C.?
Right.
And on the weekends, the station is like 32nd in the ratings. It's like nobody listens to the station on the weekends.
They're trying so many different formulas.
Yeah.
They came up on the short end of the stick.
Sure did, Sam.
God, I think they should, you know, they could be better with just putting oddities on. Just finding oddities off of the street and putting them on the radio.
So, listen, of course I'm a company man. I'm happy that you're going to be listening to WJFK, but... You know, maybe you should listen to Oldies 100 or something for a week. Even though they play the same 100 records over and over again, at least, you know, they're records that you know.
Yeah, because Sunday night you're going to have a tough time. And it's just going to be on in the background the whole time, right? I mean, are you actively...
Are you actually going to be actively listening? And will you guys be actively listening 24 hours a day, or will you be able to take sleep shifts?
What we're going to do is we're going to have guys that are going to take specific shifts. So there will be guys that will be up in the tent 24 hours of any given time of the day. So we will be listening. Yes.
Now, I asked you a question which you didn't answer before. Have you talked to anybody at the record books, you know, or anybody that sanctions this type of thing to find out if anything similar has ever been done?
No, but we have looked in the books, and we started this idea when we saw that the Guinness TV show was going to be on the air, and we said, hey, we can definitely do this record, so that's why we're trying to do it. So.
First of all, let me say good luck calling the Guinness people to try to find something out. Cause we tried it last week, and it was a super cluster F.
Yeah, and it seems to me that if you're trying to get on the TV show, you know, they probably would prefer having a guy that puts a spider in his mouth.
Hey, that was a good one.
I bet you we have a guy that would probably do that.
You know, to make it a real record, you guys would probably have to do something besides listening to the radio.
Because it's really, you know, radio is something where you can go about your regular activities and just have it on in the background. You know what I mean?
Like you guys have to be naked, standing on your heads, or like, you know, not go to the bathroom for a week while listening to the radio, or so, you know, or having sex while listening to the radio.
It could definitely be done.
See, something that's really, you know, an odd thing that you'd be doing as opposed to just... Something like turning the radio on.
Although at this point right now, Jeremy Coleman is probably wet just thinking about the fact that someone might actually be listening to the station 7 days a week. You guys would be world record holders in that regard.
Hey, we do it.
All right.
That's why I was calling you guys. You could give us some great ideas, and we would do it. We have the guys that would do it.
Well, that's our idea, is that you should probably, first off, be naked. Second off, maybe try to involve sex.
Yes.
And most likely... You know, beyond that, I don't know, sir. You're on your own. But when you guys figure it out, when you do want to start it, call us, and I promise we'll give you some free pub.
Tremendous. You guys got our full support, and we thank you guys for having me on the air and letting me talk about this.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I told Charlie I thought that was a lame world record, but
well, you know what the heck? Yeah, they're doing something constructive with their time.
They seem like nice guys.
That's nice guys.
The station desperately needs anybody listening on the weekend.
Well, welcome back to Mystery Theater.
You know, the one time I worked at a station that they were so positive, nobody listened to on the weekend,
right?
That I swear to God we did this. We opened up the microphone on a Sunday afternoon, and we said, caller 100 right now wins a Cadillac.
Yeah.
And nobody called in.
There you go.
Right?
You know.
It was like super tempting fate.
You know it's bad when.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
I've been there. I was Nick Sticker.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I got something that those guys could stay in the tent with.
Yes.
Dennis Murphy.
You know, that would certainly test their patience.
Yes, it would.
You guys are great.
Or even better, Lewis. Put Lewis in the tent with them.
You know, I was thinking, I don't know how sick this is, but this is the way my mind's working today. The longest sustained urination, where, you know, you had to keep the stream going unbroken, nonstop, and just get the boys coming, you know, one right after the other.
Haven't you ever really had to pee and wondered about it when you stood there and you're going... Sometimes I know I've honestly looked at my watch and thought,
will this ever stop?
This has to be a world record, right? Like where you think you could just keep filling up bottle after bottle after bottle.
Can you imagine that? I bet that's not in the record book. And you have just a line. And you could use as many guys as was necessary.
To continually keep urinating.
I mean, you could really use like 1,000 guys, and it would just that you would never, ever be a... And just see how long you would go without stopping.
Could make a great porno film out of that, too. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, Don and Mike here.
Yeah, I had a story for you guys.
I'm kind of wary about stories, sir. They generally slow down our show. What is it a story about?
It's about something that happened to me at Walmart yesterday. You'll love the story.
Is the radio turned up in the background by any chance?
Yeah. Radio.
Yes,
I guess
it is.
Radio in the background, yeah.
Please tell me more about your story.
Well, see, I was at Walmart yesterday, and...
And now, deep thoughts.
No, this, you'll love this. This lady was, like, staring at me, just following me around the store. So,
yes.
Me and my friend, we lost her. Went and got this CD, went to the shortest line in the front. She's in front of me, staring at me again. Mm-hmm. So I'm being a dickhead. I was like, ma'am, why the hell are you staring at me? And she just kind of looked down, and she's like,
Really, this is a great story. Please continue.
And thanks so much for turning the radio down. Turn it down.
She's like,
No.
Excuse me.
Please turn your radio down.
I did.
All right.
God.
Like, you look just like my son that just died a month ago. So I felt like...
All right, great story. Listen, this is exactly why I hate storytellers on this show.
Unbelievable.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don and Mike?
Hello.
He thought that was the greatest thing that's ever happened.
He thought we'd love that. Oh, like what, we're going to laugh our ass off and go, oh, great story. Listen, let me give you a prize.
So I looked at it and said, lady, what the hell are you looking at?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, this is Ryan from Reno.
Hi, Brian.
Brian, how you guys doing?
Yes, Brian.
Hey, I think it was February or March, University of Nevada set the world record for most people mooning a camera at once.
Hey, you know what? I saw that on the news. You're absolutely right.
Now, that's a little more
constructive. It was fun.
That's a little more constructive than just sitting there listening to the radio.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, my friend.
Hey, y'all going to give somebody a hard time after you guys kept getting all of those busy signals and out of order and everything yesterday?
What do you mean?
When you were playing the Call the World and See Who's Laughing at Us?
Right.
You guys kept getting all the busy signals, man. You're talking about it takes up too much time, man. Y'all wasted like almost an hour.
Listen, who are you to criticize?
I'm a faithful listener. I'm the one that keeps
calling.
Well,
F you. You're not faithful. You're calling like this with this crap. You're not faithful.
No, man, I'm faithful.
Listen, I say this
every day, but I mean, you know, you can't dog your listeners, man.
Oh, yes, we can. We can dog anybody we want, sir.
Well, I can dog back. It's easy.
No, you can't. Go ahead, dog me. Go ahead.
We just did, man.
No.
I got both of y'all yelling now.
Oh, it takes so much to get us yelling at somebody.
Well, I'm just saying.
All right, now come on. Listen, I'm ready for your attack. Go ahead, dog.
You know what's a better idea, really? When you're talking about the calls that we were making yesterday,
mm-hmm.
on a 4-hour live radio program, which we do live, when Don is making those calls live, when we are calling businesses, we don't pre-call them, we don't know what's going to happen, so it's live. So you know what? If you think you can do a better job, perhaps we should give you a little of your own live radio show right now, so you can show how you can do a better job.
Go ahead, you're on the air.
I'm on the air. Well, let me tell you. I appreciate Don and Mike putting me on the air like this, and I just want to let everybody out there know that they are all right, except that when sometimes they let things get a little bit too out of control, and they go on and on and on for hours like they did yesterday. When they're calling wrong numbers and they can't seem to get a line out, they should have taken the hint and maybe gone on to something else, because most of their show is pretty good most of the time. But I appreciate them giving me this forum to hold my court on their radio show. Thank you.
Well, that was very good. You filled 20 seconds.
That was 20 seconds.
We've still got 3.5 hours left in the show. Go ahead.
Oh, you're going to give me the whole show? Okay.
So easy. Go ahead.
Well, by all means, how about everybody just call in and talk to me, and then I can sit here and I can tell these people what you guys would wind up telling these people anyway.
Oh, that's now you've worked out to about 40 seconds. That was about 40 seconds.
That's okay, because what will happen is then all I'll do is I'll just pick up most of Howard Stern's bits like y'all do in the afternoons and use them on the radio too.
Now you've got about 50 seconds. You've gone to about 50 seconds then.
And there's the phony laugh of confidence.
He's starting to break up a little bit. Come on.
You want me to keep going?
Sure.
Oh, well, I could fill up the afternoon.
Hey, stop saying it and do it.
Go ahead. Come on.
Sure. Okay, well, the thing is, how am I going to take phone calls, though? So can you guys patch me through to the phone calls that come in for me?
We, to the best of my knowledge, did pretty close to 40 minutes at the beginning of the show without phone calls.
Here's a call for you, though. Hello.
Thank you very much. How are you doing this afternoon?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Hey, I'd like to get the opinion if they think Tiger Woods is gay.
I don't think he's gay, man. Isn't he hanging out with that little model girl that he's been running around with on the tour there?
Well,
did you see him when he was...
What's he got to do?
What's that?
What else is he going to do?
Well, I don't know, man. I mean, I'm not with him all day long. I don't know, man. Don and Mike, they're all dogging on me because they think that I can't run a radio show. See, so what it is I'm not Don and Mike. I'm sitting here answering for them while they hang out in the background.
Mm-hmm. Who's this?
This is Jerry.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Where's the intern?
The what?
The intern.
Well, I don't know, man. See, I'm not at the radio station. These guys are trying to dog me by letting me have their radio show for a couple of hours, I suppose. So what they're going to do is they're going to let me talk to you all afternoon. They're going to see if I can kill 4 hours. See, but I know that I can kill 4 hours. That's not a big deal. And I appreciate the hell out of this, man. I mean, I'm all over the airwaves, I suppose, and all over the country if I'm on the Don and Mike show. Yeah. But I don't have the radio turned up because they really hate that all the time, so I'm not listening to the radio right now.
So where are you right now?
See, the problem with this guy is I'm sure he could talk for 4 hours, but
where?
Right now I can hear radios across the country turning their dials off.
Want
to ask Jerry if he wants to take another call?
Let you turn it on?
I'm sitting here talking to you right now on the air, partner.
Ooh, baby, give me a break.
Huh?
You're not at 106.7. No way.
No, I'm not. I'm right at work. But
okay,
they're...
hold on, Jerry. Let me take another call for you. Here you go. Hello, you're on with Jerry, who's the master of radio.
Hey, Jerry.
Hey, what's up, dude?
You think you're running the show, huh, buddy?
No, man, I'm just sitting here talking to you.
You're sitting here talking to me. Well, you know what? I think you're right. I think Don and Mike are a bunch of jerks, too. I think they're a bunch of Howard Stern wannabes.
Oh, man, I don't think that. I really like these guys. I listen.
Oh, come on, man. Listen to Howard Stern in the morning, then listen to Don and Mike.
I do, man. I do.
Every afternoon, but they copy Howard Stern all day long.
Yeah, and they're giving me their show now, man. I mean, because they think that I can't fill up 4 hours talking about them.
Yes,
you notice the only thing that Jerry's talked about is us.
I mean,
he's tried to mention this crap about Howard Stern.
These guys are great, man. They have a great show.
Yeah,
I just
Howard Stern rules, baby.
Well, that's an opinion.
You want to take another call?
Yep. Don and Mike. Hey, guys. Hello.
Hey, hello.
Hello. What can I do for you?
Who's that new host they keep on there that's laughing like a jackass?
That'd be me, man.
Oh. Horse radio?
Pardon me?
All horse radio?
All horse radio, man.
I'm going to the station.
Who are you? Hello.
Hey.
Who are you?
I'll give you another
call. Who are
you? We're taking another call.
That's a big question for the day. Who are you? Who am I? I'm just a listener to Don and Mike. They decided to give me their radio show for the afternoon, and I'm just filling in for them.
Hey,
what would you like to talk about?
I thought this was the Jerry show, not the Don and Mike show.
Well, it is now. What you need to talk about, bruh?
So, how old are you, Jerry?
I'm 29. Going to be 30 in September.
What are you wearing, Jerry?
Huh?
What are you wearing, Jerry?
What am I wearing?
What are you wearing, Jerry?
Jeans and a shirt.
Got a tie on?
Nah.
Jeans and a shirt. Where do you work, Jerry?
Now, Jerry.
I work.
Jerry,
for...
are you there?
Jerry.
Jerry, now that you've had a little experience with it, now it's kind of your job to, you know, to move on to the
you
next.
You
got to
move it on, Jerry.
Well, I don't have the button. You guys are just.
No, but I mean, you can say, "Let's take another call," and that'd be our cue to help you out there.
Oh, that's not a problem, then. Let's take another call.
Bye, Jerry.
Bye.
Oh, hold on a second. There's Jerry, hold on, and there you go.
Who we got here? Hello?
Jerry?
Oh, they hung up on you, Jerry.
Well, it happens.
Let's see how he deals with that.
Hello?
I'm just seeing how you deal with a hang-up call.
Oh, okay. So what's going on now?
Now you're dealing with a hang-up call.
Okay, well, let's
that happens
the next
to us,
call,
Jerry. Just to, you know, that happens to us probably 20, 30 times.
Yeah, no, I've heard you guys have it happen.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. You know, it's part of the deal.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Go ahead, ad lib your way out of it. Go ahead.
Ad lib my way out of a hang up call. Well, I guess he didn't have much to say that, or he got scared because he figures that, you know, he just isn't. Hello. Why is the phone ringing back?
Come on, you got to work through it, Jerry.
Oh, okay, so I got to keep working through it while the phone's ringing back. See, I don't know all of this.
If you'd like to make a call, you cannot then try again.
That's, you know,
okay,
something, Jerry, you just said something. You don't know all
right
of this.
You don't.
I think you have made your point.
Okay.
What? Who is this, Jerry?
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Hey, what's up there, buddy?
Nothing much, man. What you doing?
Kicking it.
Where you at, man?
Turning my car. Hey.
Hey.
Were you the one that was just sitting there talking about them biting Howard Stern and this and that?
No, that was a caller, but...
But you believe that, too, to a degree, right? Well,
not to a degree, yes. So I've heard them do some of the same things that I hear Howard do in the mornings.
But you're so wrong.
I am?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just because somebody has the same opinion does not mean that they're biting. You know what I'm saying? Dynamite
well, no, I understand.
Raised me.
See, that's not...
Raised me!
Do what?
They have raised me!
They have raised you?
They've raised me. They've made me the man that I am today.
Oh, man, they did a very good job today.
I was a small child, man, and I tell you what, it, you know, it hurts.
Does it?
Yeah, it hurts. You're a guy like you, how old are you, man?
Pardon me?
How old are you?
29.
29, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
You just, I don't know, something's wrong.
Kind of petering out here, Jerry. All I hear from you is a lot of mm-mm-mm.
Okay.
Come on, Jerry.
Jerry, we told you, I mean, it's your, if you want to take another call, we take another call.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, take another call.
And we, you know, that's the second time we've had to tell you that, Jerry.
Yeah, you're right, but I'm a little slow on the uptake.
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
You are, Jerry. You are very slow on the uptake.
There's that nervous laughter that is supposed to give an aura of confidence.
Nervous laughter that's supposed to give an aura of confidence. So you don't want me to laugh anymore?
Jerry, I'd give you, really, seriously.
Yes, sir.
You know, you had it when you started.
Yes, sir.
You know, when you were dogging us, that was actually the strongest part of your shtick. And then once that was over,
well, see, I wasn't,
you know, that was
it. Stick, and I really wasn't trying to dog y'all.
Well, we were just giving you an opportunity, and you sucked.
Well, yeah, you're awful.
You're terrible.
It's
you're
a
awful.
Terrible thing, man. Not everybody can be a DJ, ain't that right?
Right. Correct, and you've just proved that, which means you have no right to call us and bust our balls because we made a call yesterday that was busy.
Sure I do.
That was our point, and you have made our point. And you have made our
point. You've proved how hard it is to do a live radio show, Jerry.
And now we can hang up on your ass, Jerry, because you're boring.
You've proved how hard it is to do a live radio show.
For goodness sakes. Jag off. You know, usually that works pretty well. It really does, you know? I mean, it's just it's the old walk a mile in the shoes theory.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, my wife can talk for 4 hours. The guy's just not funny.
Yeah, right. I mean, that was,
you know?
That was my whole point to him.
Sure.
Anybody can talk for 4 hours, but, you know, you got to break it up or something.
He was doing all of his, yeah, hey, where you calling from? What you doing today? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the callers that were calling in were just as bad as he was.
That guy, he wants to bust my balls because we tried to call Tokyo and the line was busy yesterday?
Kidding.
Oh, Jerry.
All right, I love you guys.
Thank you. Love you.
There you go.
Bye-bye. All right.
Say, we have a little love on this show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey.
Hey, yeah, Jerry's show. How you doing?
Yeah, now we're going to have to, like, wade through the calls that have been generated by the Jerry segment.
Hello. Hello, radio up too loud. How come Jerry didn't get any radios up too loud? Hello?
Hello.
Yes, what do you want?
Don't put people on like that again. God, if I wanted to listen to that, I'd go home.
All right, thank you, sir. All right, look, just making a point, sir.
We have to make a point.
Just making a point here. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing to Jerry.
Well, he's not on the line, but I'm sure he's still listening.
I just wanted to give him a good old...
Thank you.
A little heckle for Jerry.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
All right. See you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, I want to talk to Don and Mike about Jerry.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you're on the air.
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess you didn't really have it processed what you wanted to talk about.
I'm on the air?
Right.
Well, Jerry sucks. And how he can... get so lucky to not have one caller tell him that and put him in a corner where he belongs was unbelievable.
I'm certainly glad you didn't get the opportunity to
Thank
talk
you.
To Jerry.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye.
All right, listen. And there's our point. It may seem unfair to some of you that we get to bust balls on the show, but we don't like our balls busted. You know what? Life ain't fair. What do you want me to do?
And it's funny that I laugh when I hear you say that we don't get our balls busted.
Oh, we do, though.
We do every day.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Private Potts, why is your footlocker unlocked?
Sir, I don't know, sir.
Private Pyle, if there is one thing in this world that I hate, it is an unlocked footlocker. You know that, don't you?
Sir, yes, sir.
If it wasn't for dickheads like you, there wouldn't be any favor in this world, would there?
Sir, no, sir.
Get down. Well, now, let's just see if there's anything missing. Holy Jesus. What is that? What is that, Private Pyle?
Sir, jelly donut, sir.
A jelly donut?
Sir, yes, sir.
How did it get here?
Sir, I took it from the mess hall, sir.
Is Cal allowed in the barracks, Private Pyle?
Sir, no, sir.
Are you allowed to
eat jelly donuts, Private Pyle.
Sir, no, sir.
And why not, Private Pyle?
Sir, because I'm too heavy, sir.
Because you are a disgusting fat body, Private Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Then why did you hide a jelly donut in your footlocker, Private Pyle?
Sir, because I was hungry, sir.
Because you were hungry.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged, like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right. All right, we're getting Jethro Bodine on the telephone.
Uncle Dan!
Let me take a call while we're waiting for him. This is a guy who claims he knows Max Bayer's aunt.
No, man, I know his niece. I went to school with her over here at Oakmont.
Yeah?
And she was telling me how he was into the porn business. He was in producing.
Well, I can't think of a better way to get the interview started with Max.
Yeah, well, I don't
like
believe
in
that.
Early 80s, I believe. She
I think
was
I've heard
me.
That also.
And she was in my Spanish class. And
who is now? You know Max Bayer's niece?
Yeah, I believe her name was Jessica Nicole. She was sitting in my Spanish class over there at Elkmont. And my name Justin, and they called me the Rock, but that's a different story. But she was talking to me about all that stuff. She used to have a crush on me, and we were talking, and she told me all about.
All right, hold on a second.
Producing porn.
All right.
Wonder why they called him the Rock.
Hold on a second.
That's a different story.
First, let me say, hey, Sarah?
Yes?
We're just going to keep you on the line and see if your husband gets back home during the show, okay?
Okay, well, why don't you give me back to Charlie, and I can give you my husband's pager number so maybe he can call in if he didn't hear the show.
That would be perfect. Hold on a second, please. That's Sarah, remember? She's the woman who wants another woman to have sex with her husband with
that's
the menopause.
Right. She's called out of the blue. We didn't solicit it. She called us, and
and we're trying to help. We'll see it through. Mm-hmm. And now... That's right.
Yes.
Finally, on our show,
I'm a little excited.
Max Bayer.
Max.
Max.
Hello.
Hey. Max Bayer Jr.
Jethro Bodine.
Well.
Or is it Jethro Clampus?
No, it's Jethro Bodine. I was a cousin. Yeah.
Jethro Bodine.
How you doing?
Hey, Max.
How are you?
Hey, we're doing great.
I'm just listening.
Oh, well, no, we're just wondering... If you were going to say something there, there was a moment of awkward silence.
You know, I believe that
I was just sitting there waiting. I just got the call about 2 minutes ago, and I was listening to the feed, I guess, from the guy that said he knew my cousin and that I used to produce pornography or something like that.
Oh, you heard
I was
that.
Getting a charge out of it.
Now, you know, since you heard that, is there anything you'd like to add to that at all, or refute or anything like that?
That I would like to what?
Refute, you know.
Well,
did you ever make?
Well, I've never made any pornography, and I don't have any cousin in Florida.
Okay.
Oh, really? Let me go get rid of that guy. Hold on a second. Hey, Justin.
Yeah.
You hear that? He doesn't have any cousins
in
Florida.
I'm not in Florida, man. I'm in California.
Well, he said he never makes pornos.
I heard from his niece. It was his niece. Her name was Jessica Nicole Staten.
Now, you know, he's just gotten on the show.
And she said that she had a picture of him and the whole family, and she was bringing it in, and she said that she was his niece, and that he produced porn in the early 80s.
He just told us he didn't do it.
No. Well, then he didn't know what the hell was talking about because he thought he was in Florida.
Well, no, he said he didn't have anything to do with it, Justin. I mean, that's what he said.
Well,
whoa.
I don't think he's telling the truth because I think he did the porn.
He
in the early
porn?
80s. Okay. I think he was producing with those.
All right, I just hung up on that guy.
Yeah, really.
Good. We're wasting time with him.
Absolutely.
I'll tell you a very easy way to be able to resolve it, and it's not real difficult.
Oh, you know, listen, Max,
listen for a second.
Don't even worry about it, sir.
No, but there's one way to do something, and it's very easy to do.
Okay.
It's when you're asked a question, you tell the truth, you tell the whole truth, and you tell it right now, and you don't have any problems.
Right.
Number one, all he has to do is find anything. Anything at all that I've ever produced in any kind of adult films,
mm-hmm.
And then he can have something, but he never will because it isn't true.
That's right, interesting. Is that a rumor that you've ever been aware of before? Or anything that you've had to? You
of
know,
course.
Because anybody,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Stuff like that, you know, almost turns into a big monster sometimes.
Well, listen, man.
No, it is because of the fact that years ago. I went out with a girl that had been in the adult film business, so, you know.
Oh, well, all right, that's not that good story.
But that was a long time ago.
Who cares about
when
some...
when I was a young boy.
Who cares about some stupid guy calling our show with garbage about you? I want to tell you that when I was growing up, I swear to God, there was one thing that would crack me up on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't Uncle Jed, it wasn't Granny, and it wasn't Ellie Mae, it was Jethro. And I'll tell you exactly what it is that set me off. And made me a Jethro lover. When Jethro decided that he wanted to be a movie producer. And Jethro Bodine put on like a jacket that was made of, that had like tiger...
sure. Leopard
tiger,
skin, right?
Leopard skin on
right.
it.
Uh-huh.
And, oh man, what was the
and
name?
And a beret.
And a beret.
Right.
Beef jerky or something?
That was the name. His name was Beef Jerky.
Right.
I don't know. I was like 10
well,
years
old. Let me tell you something. If they could have dressed me any uglier, I mean, it was almost impossible.
Now, listen. How do you possibly stand all the people who must come up to you, idiots like me, who see you and go, Jethro!
I'd rather have idiots like you than idiots like that guy that was on the phone.
Yeah.
I got you.
You know, we play tapes of you on that show, and, you know, it, years and years and years, and it holds up. It's silly, it's stupid, it's funny, and it still works. And I think that's probably why people react to you the way they do. You must get it all the time.
Well, look, I'm not a kid anymore, and, you know, I'm 60 years old, so... Mm-hmm. You know, I'm almost getting ready for my Social Security if it's still there.
Wow. You still look like you though, sir?
Well, let's see. I weigh about 210 pounds. I'm 6'4". I still wear the Levi's I wore when I was on the series.
You know what I'd love to see?
Yeah. Wow.
I'd love to see grown up Jethro. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd love to see the character of Jethro.
Well, if you want to see that, I'll be on Fox News, cable news tomorrow all day. Where they interviewed me for the Beverly Hillbilly Mansion and Casino that I'm developing in Reno, Nevada.
Oh yeah, listen, we're going to give you plenty of time to plug that, sir.
Yes, we're big in Reno, Max. We really are. And you know, you said you wear the jeans, the same jeans. You ever just for kicks throw a rope belt in there?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, bummer. Yeah.
When you were doing the show in real life, did you ever get it on with Ellie Mae?
Well, that's about. Let's see, how old is that question? Let's see. That's
I'm sorry.
I'm 35 years old. No, my stock answer is no. Ellie Mae and I never came close, but Granny and I did.
Good answer.
And I know you've been asked that a lot. I only ask it because I've never
Howard Stern asked it.
Talk
to
you.
Ask it of me.
Ouch. All right. Well, then I'll ask you one that he wouldn't ask. You ever?
I doubt that.
You ever do Miss Hathaway?
I think I was the wrong sex.
Ah,
yes.
That's true.
Really?
Did Miss Hathaway ever do Ellie Mae?
Well, now we're getting a little personal.
Well,
no,
I mean,
Donna is very religious.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's Ellie Mae.
Yep. Donna Douglas is a very religious person. And actually, Nancy Culp was too. That's Miss Hathaway. She passed away just a few years ago from cancer.
Who was the worst cusser on the set? Who was the person that had the foulest language, man or woman?
Chief? Chief, I'll tell you.
You?
Probably, because I made the most mistakes, so, you know, so therefore I was the one that was, you know, I was the one that probably used more four-letter words, I guess, or probably son of a gun and darn or whatever that was.
I was hoping it was Irene Ryan.
So when did you get to the point, because you knew places Jethro's Casino, right?
No. It is, and that's the reason why I'm doing the show, because I've talked about the Beverly Hillbillies so much as part of my life, and I stopped doing interviews. I was not interested in doing any interviews because I had nothing new to say, and I didn't want to cover the same ground that I've covered for 35 years. So what I did is that I sub-licensed the rights from CBS to develop hotels, casinos, and theme parks and restaurants with using the Beverly Hillbillies characters, and it took me 3 years to get the rights. And now I've found a location in Reno, Nevada, where there was a mall that was not doing as well as it should. And as strange as it may seem, I put the people that own the mall, Mace Rich, together with an outlet mall developer named Petrie, Dearman & Coon, out of McLean, Virginia, right near where you are.
Hey.
And I met the gentleman. His name is Walt Petrie. And a gentleman by the name of Bill Ross that works with him and works for him. And they liked the idea. Got together with the owner of the mall.
Do you think we're listening
and,
to this?
They liked my idea, and now we're developing Jethro's Beverly Hillbilly Mansion and Casino. with this outlet mall that looks like...
He's nothing like I hoped he would be.
...of the mansion, along with a 16-plex stadium seating theater that is being built right now and will open in August.
And the whole theme is...
Oh, hold on, I have a mic turned on.
Francisco.
Is the whole theme going to be...
And we're going to have a 240-foot oil derrick out in front that explodes with fire and lights and it blows an 80-foot flame out the top.
Yay!
And all the waitresses are going to be dressed like Ellie Mae and padded like Dolly Parton. The dealers like Jethro. The pit boss is like Uncle Jed. We're going to have a Beverly Hillbilly limousine that looks like the front of the truck, the back of the truck, and the center of a limousine with a still inside that goes to the airport.
Oh.
We're going to have all the characters on all the chips. We're going to have Granny's Vittles and Hot Dogs restaurant. Jethro's
right
Audie Canette buffet. We're going to have the Beverly...
Who do you think we are?
...in the mall.
And does he really think we're just sitting here, like, hanging on every word?
Live version of Beverly Hills, except, you know, with palm trees, except it's going to be an outlet mall, and we're going to have the Beverly Hillbilly truck in there with all the characters animatronic.
Hey, Max, hold on a second. Hold on, just a second, Max.
Yeah.
Hold on, buddy. Whew, all right, well, that happens sometimes.
Once in a while.
That happens sometimes.
Once in a while.
Jethro is a powerful man.
Right. Well, let me see if I got that straight. He didn't like answering the tired, repetitive questions.
For 35 years.
Mm-hmm. He didn't direct porno.
Right.
Let me see. Oh, yes. And he's got a bunch of investors in his outlet mall and his Jethro Casino.
And he wanted to do about a five-minute commercial for that. And...
All right. Well, we're
not in that business.
Screw him.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, please tell him the interview's over.
Yeah, we were disappointed just like you were.
Hey, listen, man, I was jacked up.
So was I.
Of course. Jethro Bodine, he could have gotten a stupid commercial. But,
absolutely.
Buddy Ebsen was great.
Well, Buddy Ebsen, Buzz. Yeah. Buddy Ebsen's a class act.
Yeah. You know, you don't come on and say, hey, another radio show asked me that question.
That bugs me. I don't mind that because Howard Stern, like it or not, is the name brand.
Of course.
For radio. So that's, you know, that's okay. But he lost me when he got to the part about the, you know, just reading like off a card. Listen, this is what I'm going to do. And I get, you know, I got the Granny chips and I got the Jed chips. And we're going to dress them up like Ellie Mae.
I know.
Like, F you. It was just like,
and it was quick.
Jethro.
That was a quick burn, too. Yeah. We were both, I swear to God, we're sitting in here with grins on our faces.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have Jethro on the show, and then all of a sudden it's like, meow.
I told Ella to go on home.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Wow. I thought we had Jethro for a half hour.
Mm. Boy, that was a bad move. Yeah, well, you never know. You never know. That's what live radio is all about. And it's...
F. Jethro. Hey, Charlie, what did you tell him? You let him down easy?
Yeah, it's always an adventure.
He's a good man for the job, though. Oh, here's our phone screener, Cannon Grace.
Cannon Grace, a world traveler.
Thanks.
Did you let him down?
Yeah, Charlie wasn't in back, so I told Mr. Baird that we were having bad weather in the area, and that our newsman was having to do weather... alerts. So, I'm hoping that he doesn't watch the weather tonight.
All right, very nice.
Only in 75 outside.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cannon Grace. You got to do that. You know what I mean? We got a show. We want people at the end of a long day to get in their car and listen to our show and be amused, not hear Max Bayer.
Remember Flounder? Flounder came in?
Yeah.
Had all the lines from Animal House, you know, wanted to play ball. Delightful.
Yeah. Jethro Blue.
Yeah, doesn't want to answer the tired questions,
mm-hmm.
but certainly doesn't mind making the dealers dress like Jethro and the pit bosses like Uncle
Jeff. It's like he's been waiting 30 years to capitalize. Now that everybody else on the show is dead, he can use their likenesses and not have to pay them a cent, right? Right, and I'm glad it's CBS that he's got this venture with. I picked that up somewhere. Well, I finally came to an agreement with CBS.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the Jethro Casino. We're going to Granny on the chip. Shut up.
Shut up, Jethro. But he's tired of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the business venture.
Right.
There,
hello.
You know, forget that.
Hello. We are disappointed so many times by celebrities on our show. Hello, Dynamite.
Yeah, man, it's The Rock again. But you know what? I was not lying about that.
I really didn't
know his niece.
The porn thing.
Oh, listen.
The porn thing is true. You notice how he got all defensive, didn't you?
Man,
you know what? Tell him to refute the name Dick Horner. Okay?
All right.
Yeah.
Is that who you claim he was? Dick Horner?
I think Rock is gone. Rock was very upset.
Yes, he was.
Dick Horner with you.
Dick Horner.
Hello, Donna Mike Show.
It's me, Dick Horner.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, that went bad. That's too bad.
It's
crap.
A shame. It's a shame. Yeah.
Crap, that's bad.
It happens.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, how are you guys?
They're great, thank you.
I was at the show last night. I was just wondering what the deal was with the Harley giveaway.
Oh, the Harley motorcycle giveaway on Friday show. We had the date wrong. We thought it was today, and it's Friday.
Okay, very good.
The people at Miller Lite and Harley-Davidson want to make a big deal about it. So it's on Friday show, and everybody that was at our live show last night that entered has a chance to win this beautiful motorcycle.
Fantastic.
Everybody call me a pussy. Everybody all at once.
But you got a chance to at least try on the Harley jacket, too, backstage.
Yeah, nice-looking jacket.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look like too much of an idiot in that jacket. Hello.
Yo.
For a moment, I said to the guys, I said, wow, this is a beautiful jacket. I might ask the lady from Harley if I could have one of these jackets.
This is nice.
But I think it was Mike finally said, take a look at the back of that jacket. Right?
You didn't feel comfortable in it. And that collar was weird, too.
Hello.
Don Mike.
Hi.
Hey, guys. Why is it, let me preface this by saying that you guys have an excellent show. Okay.
Are you going to criticize us in some way?
No, it just seems like every time somebody mentions Howard Stern, it goes south, and that's that. I mean,
I thought I articulated that I said it didn't bother me in the least.
Yeah, but that's what you're saying, but that's not.
No, I was the one that said
it happens every time somebody brings up Howard Stern.
No, it doesn't.
Let me tell you something. The real reason that he went on and on and on with that commercial too, and
granted,
that's when it went south.
Granted,
that's the real reason.
I admit that, but
we were ready to go on with the interview until he did the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it got a little bit tired.
Listen, no offense to Mike. Mike has his opinion, but I pressed the button. And I didn't think there was any problem with it. I left the guy on the air. And I took your stupid phone call, too.
Okay, God bless you.
Right, no. F you. Dick. Hope you die. Jethro, too. Prick. Hello.
When are you going to have Jethro back on? Because I want to hear some more about Adventure.
Yeah, I know. It was disappointing. We're all very sad about it.
Very angry. We're a little angry, too.
I hope he was that bad when he was on Howard Stern's show.
Let me tell you something. You know, it's almost like a grease fire in a kitchen, Don. You got the fire extinguisher out quick enough, and it didn't spread.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
This is Angie. I was calling to try to talk to Ella if she's still there.
Oh, no. I'm sorry, Angie. Another one of Ella's girlfriends. Uh-huh. Ella has left the building. Oh, we have to do a break.
Yes, we do.
Hold on a second. Please stay there. Well, not you. Not you. Goodbye. I mean, everybody listen. But before any of that, we have an update about Jethro Bodine.
Okay. Very good.
And we call as our first witness, Canon Grace.
Canon, step up to the microphone and fill us in.
The gentle giant who so softly, so tenderly gave Jethro the kiss off when he started telling us about every goddamn investor in the world that was getting into his new outlet mall.
Right, exactly. What happened, Cannon?
Unfortunately, right after I got off the air, Mr. Bear called back and explained that he was asking for Charlie, and I said, Charlie, you know, he can't be reached right now. And he let off and said, well, Don and Mike can go F themselves. He said, my publicist should have told them from the start that I was just going to mention the casino. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's mentioning and then there's mentioning. He was going on a bit.
Yeah, and then he said that...
He said, that was a quote, we can go F ourselves?
Yeah, but he put it in more...
No, tell me exactly what he said. Just use initials for the bad words.
Oh, he said that... Well, he said, you can go F yourselves. He said any other show that he's going to be on, every single show, he's going to make it a point of telling people that you guys are effing a-holes, that he should have never done the show,
right,
that it was an effing mistake, that he's never dealt with such effing jerks. He went on for a good minute and a half.
That's good, Jethro. Mention our names on every other show you go on.
We'd appreciate it.
That's fine with us.
Absolutely.
But he was upset with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
F him.
Mm-hmm. There you go, F. There are a lot of F's there. A lot of tremendous F's on both sides of the curtain there.
But he was yelling and his voice was trembling. It was pretty funny. He was better than the interview.
Did he at all get into that register like he used to be on the show? Like, let me tell you right now, F them, Granny. F them. I'm going to mention what effing a-holes they are on every show I go on.
Exactly. He was trembling. It was hilarious. So.
All right.
Oh, that's too bad. We were ready to warm up to him, man.
Yeah. We were until it got into that.
Don't lay your boring infomercial on us.
You know, and we could have a little of that. That's, you know, we knew that was, but it just went on and on and on.
Pretentious one-trick pony.
And also, he said when he was before he hung up, he said, Charlie Broyhill can kiss his effing ass.
Ah.
So, really? Charlie Broyhill had nothing to do with that,
mm-hmm.
Jethro.
That was our call.
Jethro. You suck, Jethro. Your outlet mall will be a disaster.
You're the worst, Jethro.
Oh, well,
you disappointed me. I was your fan.
Who knew that it was going to end up that ugly?
Mm.
You know, after that guy, I mean, Dick Stockton wasn't that bad.
Oh, Dick Stockton, right. All right, get out of here, Cannon.
Come on, get out of here.
Wow.
All right, we took 99 calls while we were hearing about that.
Yes, we did.
That would have made a much better interview.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Jethro, if you're listening right now, balling your hand up into a fist and looking at the radio in Reno, call us back.
I'll put you
back on the air.
We'll endure a tongue lashing.
Sure. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is, I was calling for the 100 caller or something like that?
Yes, that's it.
Am I it?
Yes, that's you.
Oh, great.
Hey, what's your name, citizen?
My name is Ken.
Where are you from, Ken?
I'm from Lusby, Maryland, where those, you know, the Hicks were that gave him such a hard time years ago, a little bit earlier this year.
Pardon me?
Remember about the guys that gave him such a hard time? They live over here where I live, right up the street from me. The guys that were talking about the guy giving him Monica and his car and everything, his wife and all that.
I don't even know.
Look who's here. It's Mr. Clean.
Several days.
All right, well, listen, you're call 100, sir.
Great, thanks.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the episode that we had a long time ago on the show. Okay, you're call 100.
All right, thank you.
And you want a pair of passes to Paramount's King's Dominion? Get your King's Dominion season pass for less than the price of 3 visits. Courtesy of Paramount's King's Dominion, you've qualified for our next big payoff your credit card show. That's June 1st. And you will have a 1 in 50 chance of walking out of here with $5,000 to pay up all your credit cards, and that is from Advantage Title.
Oh, that'd be great.
You got it. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
All right. You need my address?
Right. Hold on a second. So let's hold the line.
Hold on there, Uncle Jim.
Okay, now, how about that?
Wow.
We can go F ourselves.
How about that, huh?
F you, Jethro. You're a has-been, Jethro. Typecast.
That's nice.
Well, that's certainly... Who would have predicted that it would have ended in that way?
Well, Jethro, every radio show that I go on from now on, I'm going to say what an effing jerk you are. And I will go on a lot more radio shows than you will, Jethro.
Jethro!
Jethro!
Jethro is a powerful man.
Jethro, I bet your casino will be a huge failure.
It's a shame.
You're a bad man, Jethro. Very bad man. F me, F you.
Wow.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? People are safe before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it. Give me another job, I'm gonna start saving some money, and you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway.
The Don and Mike Show. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. Put yourself up, Beaver. Put your foot on the lady's thumb.
Pardon me?
What are you saying, sir?
Pardon?
That was the line on the... When you referred earlier to the Beeve when he was putting his foot on the sign.
Yeah?
Whitey says to him, pull yourself up, Beaver. Put your foot on the lady's thumb.
Hey, that's right, yeah. Yeah, he's there with his friend Whitey.
You know, Beaver, there are so many lines from Beaver that can be used. It's a... That guy's got to have a bit of a complex. You've seen the interviews. Does it look like he's got a bit of a complex?
Very uptight. Listen.
Like a guy that's been, you know, he looks like the guy should be calling those counseling lines.
Very defensive. He sits, hold on a second there. He sits down, makes sure that his hands are folded and crossed, so like his fingers are intertwined, sits as if he's very controlled, thinks about everything that he's going to say.
Pauses before he answers.
And when Craig Kilborn was giving him like the Beaver questions, he smiled and laughed a little bit too much as if to say, hey, listen, I get it, okay?
Right.
Okay, Beaver, yes, Beaver.
Sure.
I get it.
It's amazing. Imagine going through life as you're the Beaver. That's
as the Beaver.
That can't be all that peaceful.
Hey, at some point, though, he must have gotten some love out of it. You know, back in his heyday, and I mean when Jerry Mathers was, 21, 22?
Absolutely.
Could walk into a bar in Hollywood and, you know, What woman? He walks Ham the Beaver.
Yeah.
How'd you like to have sex with Beaver Cleaver?
Catches the first, you know, the first really looped lady at the bar, you know. Beaver! Oh, you're so cute. Yeah. And he went the cute thing all the way. You know, he said, yeah,
probably
like
still,
Beaver, yeah.
He's probably going to the bar with his baseball hat on and the brim lifted up like he did on the show.
Oh, look at the Beaver. Oh, I want to take you home. I want to take you home, Beaver.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Yes, hello, sir.
Hey, I wanted to ask you a question in regard, I don't mean to bring up stuff from old shows, but when you first saw something about Mary, Mike mentioned that he laughed very hard at the beginning, was the only one laughing in the theater. Was that because of Warren?
Yes, it was because of Warren.
Because I had the same ailment, me and my friends, everyone else was embarrassed to laugh.
Yes, most people in the theater, yeah.
And we were crying up in the aisles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is...
Yeah, how'd you like to be me? When I saw it, I was sitting right next to my reverend.
Oh, I couldn't right? stop thinking about it, because I heard you mention you were going to take him, and I saw him right the night before you did, and I was thinking the whole time... What is the Reverend
going to
think?
Oh, listen, I didn't even tell you guys this. My wife just told me this over the weekend, that when we were sitting in the theater,
right,
we were sitting like
right.
this. It was Frida, me, the Reverend, Bart, and the Reverend's wife.
Mm-hmm.
The Reverend, at a couple of points in the movie, leaned over to Bart. He was kidding. He leaned over and he said, I think that we should raise you. Meaning him. He and his wife, right? Because he was sitting in the movie with the...
That's funny.
With the hair gel.
That
on
is so
thing.
Funny. He's got a great well, sense of humor.
He's cool. Thank you.
All right, bye.
See you later. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I'd like to talk to Don and Mike, please.
This must be like science club at the junior high day. Hello?
Yeah, hello, Trouble. What can we do for you?
Hello?
Yeah, is this another high school boy?
Another high school boy. No.
Why are you repeating questions? Now listen, and we can have a dialogue.
Are you a high school boy?
No, 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 no. My my cat, he's dying of cancer, and I was wondering...
Call Jack Diamond. I'm sure he'll do a radiothon for him. Call Harvey Fisher. Tell him you have a dying animal, and I guarantee you he'll give you 8 to 9 tomorrow morning on his show.
Okay, it's 8:45. Listen, we've got a cat stricken with cancer here, and we're going to raise a few dollars to give the cat a proper burial.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, Don on my show.
Hi, I would like to tell him a story about my life.
How old are you?
I am 18.
What the hell's going on today?
We got to start checking IDs here. I don't mind with girls, though.
Nice. I have sex with my twin sister.
Isn't it almost back to school?
Oh, no, not for another month.
Okay.
You had sex with your twin sister?
Yes.
And you know that, let me just say something. As opposed to when brothers and sisters have sex, when bad things can happen,
mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I don't believe that anything bad can happen if two sisters have sex.
But my boyfriend doesn't know about this.
I mean, except for the psychological stars.
Yeah, psychological, but no, nothing bad can happen.
Right, because they can't make a baby that's, yeah, you know, part brother and part sister.
Well, you're right about that.
So I'm all for that.
And there's that twin bond, you know, but I mean, my wife's
it
a twin.
Like I'm having sex with myself.
Like having sex with yourself.
Exactly.
You know, my wife's a twin, but I don't think she's ever been that close with her sister that they would do that. Why are you having sex with your sister?
Because she looks just like me, and I find her very attractive.
When did you start having sex with your sister?
I would probably say a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
Where do you girls have sex?
In their own house.
In your own house?
Yes.
Do you have any... This is a difficult interview to do here.
Yeah.
What compelled you to do this in the first place? Well, it is rather odd, don't you think?
Very.
It's yeah. your sister.
But I love it.
Yeah.
You love it, do you?
Yes, I do.
Hmm.
I made love with my brother Jim.
Oh, God. Now that's gross. That is the definition of gross in the dictionary.
Me and my brother Jim in bed together.
Oh, God.
That's funny in a lot of ways.
Hey, man. You got all the covers.
So they're smoking a cigarette.
Oh, my God. That would be the worst. That's the worst.
Who would be the husband and who would be the wife?
Oh.
He's older, isn't he?
I'd have to be the husband. But I'd go get a gun and shoot myself first. But listen, you're not in that predicament.
No, you're not. You see this continuing for a long time?
Hopefully not, but...
Hopefully not? Okay, well, there's some reason coming.
But I would love my boyfriend to join in with us.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah. Lucky man.
Do you have any reason to think he'll object to that?
Well, he doesn't know about this.
What do you think? How do you think he'll react? You're obviously planning on telling him.
No.
Oh, you're not going to tell him?
No.
She calls up and she goes, Ferris?
Ferris, my sister and I would like you to come into the pool.
Hold on a second there. Hold on. I got some information coming in. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, that girl
Yeah.
That was on Jerry Springer last night.
Well, that's the topic on his show a lot of times, though.
Yeah, but no, what she's saying exactly like...
Oh, okay, hold on.
So you think she's a phony?
I'll grill her.
Oh, she's a phony.
I'll grill her. Hold on a second. Hold on there. Hey.
Hello?
Hey, you little tramp.
I am not a phony.
Did you see this on Jerry Springer?
No, I did not. I don't watch Jerry Springer.
All right, hold on. Let me put you on with your accuser.
Yeah.
You're in this forum, the people's court, the retards court,
the tards court.
Hello.
Hi.
You totally...
I have sex with my twin sister.
Yeah, right.
And I did not see this on Jerry Springer.
It was on last night. I watched it.
I did not see it.
It was exactly the same as what you're saying.
Really?
Yes, exactly.
Wow.
Well, now you have to prove, sir, it is your job in the court of law here to prove that she is lying.
Boy.
Not an easy task because we try to do it all the time.
And we want to believe her.
And we're professionals.
And as Judge Judy says, don't pee on my leg and tell me that it's raining.
Thank you. All right.
Hello?
Yeah, come on. Ball's in your court.
Okay, she said that she thinks that her sister's attractive, and that was like the exact same line. Just like that she was attracted to her because she looked like her. And, like, that her boyfriend didn't know is exactly the same.
That's a good point. What do you have to say to that, twin?
I did not see a Jerry Springer show, but I find my sister very attractive because I am as well.
Who is the celebrity that you believe you and your sister both resemble?
Probably, that's a toughie.
I'll tell you one thing. With this debate going on, I believe we may have a combined SAT score of 230.
Who do you girls look like?
That's a hard one. Do you ever watch Days of Our Lives?
Sometimes.
Do you know Carrie?
Hey, is your sister around? I'd like to talk to her.
No, she's not. She's at work.
You know what? That would probably be best if you called us sometime when your sister was there so we could talk to both of you.
Where are you from?
From Las Vegas.
Oh, Vegas. It's a shame. You're
oh, not. Of course. That's a way of life in Vegas, Mike.
Yeah, showgirls. Showgirls. Right. I wonder if they're showgirls, yeah. Do you wear big headdresses when you're doing it?
No.
All right. Well, good for you. And, you know, send us some pictures or something.
And you, counselor, I don't think we proved anything today.
Sorry, we have to render our verdict for the plaintiff.
The plaintiff, absolutely.
The plaintiff.
No, the defendant.
Yeah.
Whatever.
The defendant.
The girl who makes love with her twin sister.
Yes, the defendant, you know, our finding is for the defendant.
Oh, that's too bad.
No, it's... No.
It's good for you,
no,
genius.
What we're saying is we believe you.
Okay, good.
See, you were the defendant because you were being accused by the other guy.
Good job.
Congratulations.
I don't think that she...
Thanks, what do I get?
She can't even figure that out.
Do I get anything?
No.
Oh, why not?
You already do.
Right, excuse me?
Goodbye.
Bye.
Take care. Thank you, sir.
Bye-bye.
And thanks for joining us on It's Academic.
Thanks, counselors. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, Don and Mike.
Yes.
Radio gods, crap detector, and here's why. She was, you asked where she has sex with her sister, and she started to say we have it in their house.
Hey, we've got the assistant district attorney calling in now.
She's making it up, man.
Okay, who cares? There's a phone call we took. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike. This is Jennifer Dean. I'm calling from Leesburg. My husband and I were one of the big winners last Friday, and I wanted to call in.
Oh, for rent and mortgage?
Yes.
Ah, beautiful.
We were the very last one.
Oh, good.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yes, it was very nice, and I wanted to thank you, and I wanted to let everybody know that I'm a long-time Don and Mike listener when you were back in WAVA.
Oh, well, thanks.
Yes, and being a long-term Don and Mike listener does pay off.
You know, you talk a little bit. Your syncopation with the way you talk is a little bit like Martha Stewart. Has anyone ever told you that?
No.
See, you fold those things, man.
No.
The way they work.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but...
Oh, it's good.
Oh, it's good.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Thanking you.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I've been told I talk like Martha Stewart also.
Of course you do. You sound a little bit like Martha Stewart.
Who would take advice from her? Doesn't she look like a lady that if, like, there was a dish to be washed or something, she would go, wipers!
Absolutely.
Right? She almost falls into the Bob Vila trap.
She does. Yeah. The know-it-all that, like...
Remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we outed Bob Vila way back when he did This Old House with with his poor mule assistant, Norm.
Mm-hmm.
That Bob Vila was the star of the show, Bob Vila.
Right.
And he would say, we're up on top of the roof, when in reality, poor Norm... you know, who may have some kind of mental problem. Poor Norma's up on the roof for 3 hours banging nails. Bob comes up with a camera crew.
That's right. Hi, I'm Bob Vila. I'm adjusting my down vest while Norm is holding up this bearing wall with his right hand.
Same thing. So what finally happened is Bob Vila got a little too big for his britches.
That's right. Norm kept working there, right?
Yeah, Norm's working with the new dweeb.
Mm-hmm. And the new
dweeb thing with same thing with Martha Stewart. I don't believe that she really does all the household crap that she talks about.
I liked the new dweeb at first because it was just a relief from Bob Vila. But now the new dweeb, you know, it's just too much of the architectural jargon that he says, oh, that's a French provincial. I think that's a, you know, meanwhile, Norm has still got the saw in his hand.
Oh, but the new guy does the work, though.
He gets his hands dirty a little bit more, but still more with the gift of gab than actually taking a saw and cutting the wood in two.
Wasn't all that started when was it Marlon Perkins used to watch his assistant?
Yeah, Jim Fowler, that's right. Jim is in the water wrestling the giant anaconda.
That's right, I'm sitting here in my pit helmet.
Right. And that was really the greatest example of that is when he was seriously standing on the bank of the watering hole while Jim was wrestling with an anaconda and almost died, and then Marlon, at the last second, after Jim had gotten the snake under control, he dives in to pile on and, you know, makes it look like he saved the day.
Meanwhile, he's the beneficiary of the Jim Fowler.
Yeah, he's the star.
Sure.
Yeah. He's the star. When he died, Mutual of Omaha had to pay him a lot of money, I bet.
The car is moving at 65 miles an hour. We're going to let Jim hang out and try to grab the rhino by its front horn.
Well, I'll give you one other piece of trivia, Don.
The roof in this house, 480 feet up in the air. A very dangerous job. Norm has been up there since 8 o'clock. I'm going to be taking the police cherry picker up to join him to exclusively interview him.
I'm Bob Vila.
Hey, I'm wearing a polo shirt, and look, Norm is wearing overalls. Right? Constantly.
Norm, I know you've been here since 5 a.m., and it's close to 6 p.m. That wall doesn't look quite level. Are you all right, Norm?
Yeah, Bob. Screw you. Screw you, Bob.
You know, Norm got his own show.
Yeah, the cabinetry show.
Of course, they will put anything on PBS, so it really doesn't matter.
Do you watch that show?
Sometimes.
Do you ever watch the projects that Norm does, the things he tries to tackle? The detail and the tools that he has, you know. I'm going to bring down this Midas saw that I got from the Boeing company where they make jets with it. You can get one of these in your garage and make the cabinetry just like I do.
Yeah, somebody makes a bunch of, like, olden-time Paul Revere furniture. Right. You know, make me a nice stereo cabinet.
Sure.
Make me a nice TV stand, Norm.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Hey, listen, what did you want?
Oh, I just had a piece of useless TV trivia, or movie trivia that I thought you might like.
Yeah?
Regarding two of your favorite movies. The man who played the alien in Men in Black, the actor's name is Victor Donofrio. He is totally different look, but he is the same guy
Private
that played
Pyle.
Private Pyle. Yeah. You didn't know that?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, yeah, right, in a Full Metal Jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. I read that in some useless magazine like Entertainment Weekly when I was in the doctor's office. That's
beat
all
you.
You would spend in this thing.
Beat you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, yeah. I had a question that you could ask the bee for me.
Yes.
I've read or heard somewhere that he started to do porn, or he was in a couple porn movies.
No, listen, this is exactly what Craig Kilborn was asking him, and this is...
What did he say?
He went into a whole big, long, drawn-out thing about how John Holmes, the porno star, when he first became a porno star, introduced himself as Ken Osmond.
Right.
Yeah. The guy that played Eddie Haskell.
Oh, really?
And he said that the real Eddie Haskell had to sue John Holmes to have him stop using the name Eddie Haskell.
And because of that, the Beaver was linked to pornography.
Right, and the whole time Beaver's sitting there answering this, his fingers are so tightly linked, and he's just sitting there, rigid and stiff, if you'll pardon the pun. I mean, he's so uptight, and he's actually gnashing his teeth, but he's making it through. Right? I mean, that's exactly part of the reason I felt bad for him today.
Imagine Beaver in a porno.
Well, I thought that there was, like, he was on a talk show, or I read it somewhere that his career was so bottomed out that he had to start somewhere. And that's where he turned to.
How about Lumpy Rutherford in a promo?
Oh, my God.
In a porno, rather.
Oh, God.
Lumpy. And Larry Mondello. Another one of their friends.
Oh, my God.
Hello, Dynamite.
Hey, Dynamite.
Yeah, Baldy.
Listen, buddy, I just came back from Los Angeles for 2 weeks, and I had the pleasure of listening to the Tom Likas show. Have you ever heard this guy?
I don't even want to waste time talking about him.
He is the... I have ever heard.
Look, you know what this is? You see me pressing the button?
This is hell. This is a little slice of hell when we've got the caller.
The phone call that wouldn't go away. I kept pressing the button that hangs up the line, and he still lived.
You just saw that guy one time. You know, that's the only thing we know about him. We just saw him.
Hello, Dynamite Show.
Standing up.
Hey, Don.
Yes, buddy. Hello.
Hey, do you remember the other day a guy called in about the alligator that ate the golfer?
Oh, you know, we had a whole bunch of people from Tampa Bay fax us that picture that was in the Tampa Tribune.
It was a hoax.
No.
It was a hoax.
No.
It was on the news the other night.
What news?
On 60 Minutes, Sunday.
Oh, you're bluffing, Mike. You're bluffing. You don't know if this was a hoax.
I was talking to a guy out on the golf course today about that very subject, actually, about the guy who was talking about seeing the picture of the guy's arm inside the alligator.
Yeah, I see it, too. The picture's real, but the hotel called where it supposedly happens, and they said there's no marshy area at all around their golf course.
Who did the research on this that you're quoting?
It was on 60 Minutes.
It was on. It was a feature piece.
No, it wasn't on 60 Minutes.
It was on some news show Sunday night.
Yeah, way to go. Way to sweat the details.
Oh, come on. Hello, Don and Mike. I saw 60 Minutes this week. It sucked. They reran the one about Nike. Yeah. Nike buying all the high school athletes by giving them free shoes.
Boring.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello?
Meanwhile, what has Nike given me? One pair of freaking tennis shoes.
Give me a pair of golf shoes.
Thanks, Nike. Hello?
You see that Nike shirt that Charlie Broyhill's wearing today?
Yeah, that should be a free shirt with all the Nike stuff that I've talked about on this show.
It's got a handsome, hard Nike shirt.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Sounds like Charlie Broyhill might be the only white man that ever made you moist.
Charlie Broyhill. You know, Charlie Broyhill make me moist.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hi, you're on
Don
the air.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Another child actor story for you. Gary Coleman. From Different Strokes. He's now a security guard at the lot, just trying to get some work, bringing the actors their refreshments and their keeping all the bad guys off the lot.
And listen, we have chronicled the career of Gary Coleman. The last time we called Gary Coleman is working at a car dealership in Northern California.
And selling a lot of cars. I thought he was very successful at it.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Moo.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo, how you doing?
Good.
How you doing? Oh, all right, hold on. You know it's time to stop taking calls when the Dennis Murphy impersonators get through. Cuckoo.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Am I on? Hi, this is Don. I'm at home. It's no secret that I live in the affluent Washington suburb of Great Falls, Virginia. And there's not been one goddamn snowplow up or down our street in 4 days. We have 30-inch snowdrifts. So if you ever, ever want to see me again, please plow our division, our subdivision. We are dying here. It is like the movie Misery for me. Please, I am begging the state of Virginia and have taken to the airwaves to declare this an emergency. I am about to lose my mind, and if you don't plow my goddamn street, I'm not going to get there tomorrow, and I can't take another day. We've shoveled the driveway. Get a goddamn plow down this street. Thank you, and God bless America. Now back to whatever we're running. Thanks, Alex. Bye.
Miss Purdy, are you and Sherman having relations?
That's a good question. No, Grandma. It's not like that. We're colleagues. Oh. We just work together.
Oh, yeah, that's how I start out, colleagues. Me and your grandfather was colleagues. Next thing you know, he's on top of me in the shed, pumping and sweating.
Yeah, well, it's not like that.
Sherman, will you hush up? You never brought a girl home. The least you can do is let us talk to her.
Yeah, I'd like to get to know her a little better myself.
Ain't nothing wrong with having relations. Don't be ashamed. Having relations is beautiful. When I was young, I used to always have relations. Every night, if a nice gentleman bring me flowers and candy, take me to a movie, show me a lovely evening, then I would take him home and give him hot, lovely relations. Relations is a beautiful thing. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of, especially to young people. I think
that's
it's
your way.
You know, sometimes when I'm alone, I relate to myself.
The Don and Mike Show. If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The Best of Don and Mike.
We are basking in the glow of our incredible exposure this morning on the Fox News Channel, which I believe, since you and I were watching, Mike,
yes,
most their viewership to three.
Yes, three total viewers. And
somebody besides us had to be watching that show this morning.
Deservedly so, that they have three viewers. Because, you know, in preparation for going on the broadcast, I logged a lot of time with that show. I don't think I've ever seen anything worse on the network level.
I told you last week when I watched that it looked to me like it was directed by Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
Astounding. Wow.
Meaning that there's all kinds of weird cutaways, and they put the camera on people when the camera shouldn't be on people.
Right.
Okay. Anybody that watched that, sorry about that.
Yeah, sorry. But, hey, you know something? I think I said this to my wife. Even on that horrible program, I believe our segment was the best part of it.
It had to be. On our worst day, it would have been the best part
absolutely
of their show. This is a morning show on the Fox News Channel that features our friend, Steve Doocy, who I think is a real talented guy. And you know what? I wish that I had said on the air, but they took us off after like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's a short segment. They have Around the Water Cooler. That's the name of the segment.
I wish I could have told him to lose the dead weight.
Yes.
That show would be good if it was like Steve Doocy for breakfast. Because you wouldn't know it to watch this show. Steve Doocy, one of the hosts, he's a real funny guy. He's a real talented guy.
He is, but it's impossible for him to say anything funny because they have, what, one, two, three, a total of four people.
Four.
And they're all on. I mean, it's not like they have their segments. They are all there sitting at the anchor desk for the entire show. Wow.
And they all talk at the same time, and the director never knows who to put the camera on since they're all talking at the same time. And a lot of times you just get a shot of someone who's just looking down at their copy.
Yeah, and they obviously are, the pressure's killing them. I mean, because they look really, to me, like they're already ready to kill each other.
And the show is so lame. They get old blue-haired ladies on the telephone who call them up, and here was the question of the day. Who's better, Elton John or Billy Joel?
I mean, you're talking about an idea that, you know, guys on college radio stations throw this idea out.
All right, so it's a bad show. We've covered that.
Okay.
Let me just bring you up to our pre-show call that we received this morning.
Oh, God, which made me laugh before we even went on the show.
About 8:15, one of their producers calls us up, right?
Sucky boy kind of guy.
He's got me on one line, he's got Mike on the other line.
How you doing, fellas? Okay, yeah, yes, TV. I have a TV attitude because I'm a TV guy.
Here's what he says. He says, I'm going to run down some of the things they've been talking about on the show today. They've been talking about who's better, Billy Joel or Elton John.
Right.
They've been talking about butter. There's an inside gag on the show that he described that I didn't understand.
I didn't either. I was watching it, and I didn't understand it.
And then he says all this, and
he's like prepping us, you know, so we'll know what to talk
stuff
about.
Stuff to talk about, right? Sure. Oh, and Yoko Ono not invited to Linda McCartney's thing yesterday, her memorial.
So he gets done going down the list, and he says, you guys all set with that? And I said, right away, I said, yeah, no problem. And then I'm waiting for Don. And
I
knew immediately,
anything.
When I hear the pause, I know immediately that you are 20 miles away, that you are not even listening to this guy.
Here's exactly
that
what
made me laugh.
Exactly what I said to the guy. Listen, we're just going to bust Steve's balls.
That's it.
So we don't even need to hear this junk. Right. And he said, okay, all right, we'll have a producer call you guys back.
And it wasn't like he was difficult about that. He said, yeah, okay, great. Okay, thanks a lot.
Now, I didn't know because I didn't watch the show this morning before we were on. But I guess in the previous hour, that they had, I guess that it's the show of, it's the spark, it's a show that's in trouble.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
A show that's, you know, like when a muffler is dragging and hanging behind a car and all those sparks are coming up at the end?
Yeah.
When a TV show's in that situation, when they got lots of sparks, a show like Briscoe County.
Sure.
The Adventures of Briscoe County Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Or when it was on the skids, Babylon 5.
Babylon 5, which pulled out of its tailspin. But when they were in the severe tailspin, they too went to the radio people.
Right. That's when you know a TV show is really in dire straits. You know, 10 years ago, hell, we would call Regis Philbin up, and he was so glad that anybody was noticing him. Mm-hmm. He would talk about us on his TV show with Kathy C.
We're here to help, you know, because we in radio, we love the Magic Box. We will always do something for the Magic Box.
So this show has hit the spark level because they got sparks coming up. Because not only are we the disc jockeys of the day, but they've had some other disc jockeys who were on in the hour previous to
us. Made me roll my eyes when they brought in Zippy and Pinhead from Pittsburgh who did their tame segment.
segment, and I guess the lady that was one of the anchors was from Pittsburgh, and so she was saying, "Oh, these guys are so funny," and I immediately want to run. You know, immediately I want to run out of the house and say I don't want to do it now, because as soon as other disc jockeys are involved,
what did they ask the other disc jockeys about? All the lame topics they wanted to talk about with us.
All the lame topics, and you know, it was a little reminiscing about the anchor lady in Pittsburgh. Hey, we loved you when you were here. It was fantastic. Yeah. Remember the pajama party? And they show this publicity picture, and believe me, the good judgment that we showed in not sending along a publicity photo.
You know, but they didn't use the photo of the male models that we sent them.
Right. The one guy from Pittsburgh, they showed him the publicity photo. He looked like a smaller version of the lead singer from Boston. You know that hair?
Oh,
you know
the hair? With the big, bushy afro?
Absolutely. You know, and the beard, and I was very glad that we didn't have a publicity photo up there.
So the show's pretty bad, and they have lame topics, and really, no direction on this show whatsoever. And they shift topics at a moment's notice. Like, they're all just sitting around laughing about baseball, and they're goofing on the sports guy, and then they go, killer tornadoes in Florida.
Yeah, and they get real serious about the forest fires as they go down there.
That's what it was, the forest fires.
And they have another Slicky Boy reporter, and it really is just, it's uncomfortable. I realize one thing. TV, you can't do what we do here. You just can't do it on TV.
Sure you can, but you and me are the guys that have to do it.
Yeah. We have to do it, but I need to watch my TV shows. I need to know that there's some kind of structure there, or I'm going to be very uncomfortable. And I was just, my flesh was crawling watching this TV show, because there was no structure.
How come we were on that show today, yet I sat by the telephone all day staring at it, waiting for someone at Fox News Channel to call and ask you and I to replace those hosts?
I know.
Based on our 2 minute, 36 second appearance on their show.
I thought we handled it very well.
All right, tape ready, Rob?
Yeah, tape one.
All right, tape one. Here we go.
Good.
Here's where they're talking about us. And we were telephone guests on the show.
Yeah. Okay.
No picture phones. No.
Also, in
got the dirt.
This big program, Don and Mike, who are down at WJFK, I actually know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
So
are they going to dish dirt on you?
I'm hoping they've forgotten. So anyway, they'll be with us. Plus, we're going to include your phone calls, and it's T-shirt Tuesday. Where's the T-shirt?
All right, Rob, you should have left more so we could show how lame the show is. I don't know which show would be funner to pick on, if it would be Magic Johnson or this show.
That's I'll tell you something. At least Magic Johnson. No, I'm not going to say anything nice about the Magic Johnson show.
All right, and before we run this, I would like to say that I believe that since they were operating on no delay, and I checked on that before we went on the air,
right,
there was a brief 1 second delay for Mike and myself, but they had no on air delay.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that they clipped us.
Yeah.
Because I said GD.
Yeah, but it got on. It got on, which I'm delighted about.
And the reason I think that they clipped us is when they came back, they made up some story about why it appeared they cut us off.
Yeah, really?
Okay? All right, so here we are now on Fox News Channel.
Welcome back. Time now to check into two today's water cooler stories. You know, the ones you will be talking about all day long. Joining us now on the phone from Washington, D.C. are my old pals Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara from the Don and Mike Show, heard on WJFK and 60 other radio stations coast to coast. Good morning, Don and Mike.
Steve, now, is this show that I've been watching, is this actually on the air, or is this just a test feed today?
This is it's a closed-circuit thing.
This is
real. We're just sending it out to the cable.
My God, this is the Today Show in need of Ritalin. What's going on? Steve, buddy, look at what kind of a delay are we on now? Is this like a 1 second delay? Can we say dirty words?
There is no delay, so don't say anything.
I think it's just the satellite skip.
Man, good morning, America, with attention deficit disorder.
All right, and they're peppering this like with bad sound effects.
Oh, dear.
And when we really get into it later, which in this case will be about 30 seconds if they didn't have us on very long.
Right.
While we were goofing on our friend Steve Ducey, the director, instead of staying with Steve Ducey,
right,
the guy we're talking about, he goes to shots of the other three anchors, and they have bemused look on their face, or they've got that look like, ooh, what are they talking about? I mean, it was just as phony and jive and plastic TV as you could ever imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, and everybody's out of control on this show. All the anchors are out of control, and obviously from that sound effect, whoever's running the audio, you know, he's out of control. Everybody's just doing it whatever the hell they want. It's pretty unique.
Back it up just a little, Rob, so we can hear the sound effect again.
Pretty unique in a really bad way.
Oh. Yeah. in a Magic Johnson way.
That's right.
So don't say anything.
I think it's just the satellite skip.
Man, good morning, America, with attention deficit disorder.
Is that you guys?
No, that is, I believe, that's added by someone there on your end. That's clever. That's sound effect. Very good.
We've got Bill O'Reilly. He comes in early, and he adds laughter.
Oh, now, okay. Steve, listen. You know, they gave us, when we were talking to your screener, whoever it is, they gave us a whole bunch of topics that you guys wanted to talk about.
Yeah, butter shortage, Gono, stuff like that.
No, Steve, let's talk about you, buddy.
Let's talk about your career, Steve. What happened? We want to focus on your career.
Oh, what happened to the kids' show?
Oh, I left that.
What kids show?
Actually, you know what? I used to do a kids show for Fox on Saturdays.
You're good with kids, Steve. It's your boyish good looks. That's what does it.
Thank you very much.
You remind me a lot of Dave Thomas. You ever seen those Wendy's ads where Dave Thomas is driving around for some reason with, like, 6 or 8 young boys in his car?
Hey, how you doing, kids? Come on in. How about a Biggie Fries? Have a Biggie Fries and a Frosty. Hop in the back of my...
All right, now, they're laughing.
Yeah.
But it's that... phony, like, I realize that these guys are saying something. ha, 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 very funny.
Yes, they're realizing what they have now, and they're terrified.
Hey, you know what's great about this is watching, because, Steve, you're laughing, but all the other people that they put the camera on, they have those awkward looks on their face. Like, what the hell have we gotten into? Who are these guys? You know, I think we haven't said anything really bad yet. I think
that's
the sports guy. Yeah, you know, and there's this little delay.
Is
he talking? There he is. Yes, he's talking now.
We should point out, you guys are on the radio in the afternoon, so are you at your own homes, or do you guys live together now?
I'm in my underwear right now. I'm actually sitting here. I've had my 3-year-old, my 1-year-old put down in the basement, and I'm in my underwear right now. And Steve, I'm with my mistress right now.
So also true.
Shout out to my family that are watching at home.
Which family is watching at home?
I guess they didn't get the male model pictures we sent them for our publicity photo. We were supposed to see those on the TV. We didn't send our own pictures.
Do we have a picture of Don and Mike?
No, that was our big goof, Steve, that... We sent fake pictures, and we thought you guys would put them up, but I guess
we got them out of Glamour magazine.
Well, you know what?
No way, mister!
We could probably find a shot of somebody in the pit. Here.
All right, now he picks up a copy of USA Today that has a picture of big, fat Tommy Lasorda and the new manager of the Dodgers.
Yeah,
I thought he was on Slim Fast, Tommy Lasorda.
He doesn't look good.
What happened to that?
That's Tommy Lasorda. Is that Bill Russell, the guy he fired?
No, that's... yes, it is, Mike. That's the ex-manager.
Yep.
The guy that he canned.
That, you know, that's like the first thing that Steve Ducey finds. He picks up and says, here's a picture of you guys.
Yeah, right. Lame.
So lame.
So lame.
Got a shot of Don and Mike right here.
Wait. You all have...
There we are.
Bill Russell and Tommy Lasorda.
That would be me on the left there, Steve.
And that's me on the right, Steve. I've aged since you've seen me. I've been eating a lot of bad food. I'm really upset about that butter shortage.
And I want to tell you something else. Both Elton John and Billy Joel cannot suck them up. Elton John is good for playing a concert for dead people. That's about it. Shocking. You're taking so much time asking.
You're right. I say that, and they all go, I can't believe it. She's in a wide-open mouth.
You know, the only thing that was great about it, isn't it a dream come true, though? Being in your home, watching the Magic Box, and just casually being on the phone, and then watching the
reaction. Yeah.
That, to me, was the absolute best.
Yeah, there was something great about it. You're right.
Absolutely. Suck them up. Elton John is good for playing a concert for dead people. That's about it. You're taking so much time asking people this inane question about who they like better, Billy Joel or Elton John.
And the holiday of the day, come on, yeah, drink the coffee. The holiday of the day, get in there, prepare, come in early, 3 a.m., go ahead, go for it.
We did. That was
you actually came in and prepared. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
It's truly terrifying.
When do you decide if we're having people back? Is that now?
Like now.
We take a vote.
Yeah, right. They want to decide if they want to have us back. Hey, it's not our fault. You suck so bad. You know what I mean? You might not think this, but we have some integrity, too.
You know, we would have talked about their topics, but, I mean, it was more fun to talk about their show, which really, I've never seen anything like it. That's the nicest thing I can say about it. I have never seen anything like it.
Now, what could we possibly say about their topics?
They have butter shortage. They had
Yoko Ono.
Yoko Ono and the who's better, Billy Joel or Elton John?
Those topics suck. I don't want to be attached to those. I don't want our show to be attached to those topics.
Here, here. Bully. Bully. Bully.
Like Weasel and Dweezel or whoever the other Heckle and Jekyll DJs were.
All right. It's almost over. Back to the interview.
You actually came in and prepared. That's terrible.
Yeah.
That is truly terrible.
When do you decide if we're having people back? Is that now?
Like now.
When do we take a vote? Take a
Well, if you haven't talked in like 20 minutes.
That's okay.
These are friends of yours, Steve? These are friends of yours.
I just want to say, nobody handles the awkward moments of silence better than you guys do, though. You do a terrific job.
Thank you very much.
I want to sit there.
Hey, did you guys see this? Macaulay Culkin got married over the weekend.
That's the same thing you asked the other disc jockey. See, we prepared.
When in doubt, whip this out.
No.
All right, let's hear that tape of Steve when he was on your show.
Oh, okay.
You have it?
He's so prepared.
I like dreaming, because dreaming can make you mine. Hi, this is Steve Doocy from Fox TV's Not Just News show, and I never listen to Don and Mike on WJFK because it doesn't pay enough.
It's a tearful moment on the program.
Steve, I like dreaming, too.
Thank you very much. That was delightful. I used to work down in Washington at NBC, the NBC station.
We miss you, Steve. We truly miss you.
Steve, do all the people know about your career? Do they know that you started off being the guy that would be like on the street when they had a big Powerball lottery thing?
Right,
You'd be the guy that'd be out at the liquor store talking to all the people who are spending their last couple of dollars for lottery tickets.
Right.
And Steve, do they know about that incident at the health spa with the barbells? Do they know about that?
And do they know that seriously that you were like the next David Letterman, that they handpicked you and they gave you a daytime show, but then they found out you were a bit too caustic for blue-haired ladies during the day?
We want you to know, Steve, we are rooting for you, man. We are pulling for you. There's not a day that goes by where we don't want to see you succeed, baby.
So we're not going to talk about butter?
We're out of time. Hey, Don and Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, God damn it, you're taking us off.
I'd like to have you back, but I think you're not going to...
God damn it. It got on there. Wow. Oh, that's great.
Let me hear the end of that again.
Good timing.
They're playing us out.
Oh, boy.
There's not a day that goes by where we don't want to see you succeed, baby.
So we're not going to talk about butter?
We're out of time. Hey, Don and Mike, thank you very much.
Hey, God damn it, you're taking us off?
I'd like to have you back, but I think you're not going to...
And what's this? I think this is Fox News.
The Fox News Network. This is the Don and Mike Show.
You talk very openly about yourself, you know, the bottle blonde. You even do it in the show. Yeah. And you had...
Hooters.
What do you call them?
Hooters.
What are Hooters?
Hooters are these.
No,
Hooters are just a colloquial phrase for these.
Breast.
Yes.
Okay. So you had the breast expansion.
Yes, I had the augmentation.
Yes, indeed.
Well, you know, what's the alternative? It's like, you know.
Why'd you do it in the first place? I mean, were you that unhappy with it?
No. I'm not at all. They're for me. But if I didn't tell this, then somebody else would have. And plus, am I going to come to Hollywood and do like these girls that go, I know, I started working out. No, you didn't. She got knocked out for 3 hours, and then you hurt like hell for 2 weeks.
I think I love you.
And I think they match, too. They go with me.
Well, it looks all right to me.
Yeah, they're good. They're pretty. Even on a bad day, I go, yeah.
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Is this the guy with the strip club?
That's me.
All right, now let me give you some background on this. This guy called during the break. He's calling from the Carolinas.
Greenville, mm-hmm. South Carolina.
He owns a strip club.
Yes.
And they want to shut down his strip club. And I understand that he wants to call us to plead his case with us to see if we can help.
Of course. Go right ahead, sir.
I'm not pleading my case. I'm not open yet. This is hilarious. I've been a general manager of a adult establishment strip club for the last 6 or 7 years. Nepal's here in Greenville.
Yeah.
I was the first one to open. I went out and bought some property near the airport.
Do you have all nude?
No, topless. Can't be nude and sell liquor in South Carolina.
Oh, boo.
I'm sorry?
Do they have to wear pasties?
No. They just got to wear G-strings or a T-bar.
Topless. Any Arbusto? I mean, can you see any Arbusto?
Any lap dances?
lap dances, definitely. But the thing is, they're trying to tell me that if I'm topless, the plane's going to crash on me. Now, the people that had the building before was fine. That is in their case. I'm suing them in federal court. They're saying that if I am topless out by the airport, the airport's value is going to go down, and Greenville-Spartanburg Airport will be worth nothing if I open up. Can you believe that?
But that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the place, that is the place. Airports are where those places are supposed to go.
I agree with you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm out near the airport in the middle of nowhere. It's in all the TV and newspapers out here. And I thought you guys were getting kicked.
Oh, the humanity. Oh, the best.
You should move to Los Angeles. Every time Mike and I go to Los Angeles, there are two places we like looking at. As soon as we get out of the airport area, we get the rental car. Right. First is Carl's Jr. Can't beat it. Fantastic hamburgers. And right next to Carl's Jr. is this sign that says, live, nude, nude, nude.
XXXXX.
Uh-huh.
And we see those signs and we know we are in Los Angeles. Yes, airports, all major airports.
Greenville is very, we're on the peak radio down here. A lot of people listen to you. But
now, was it Memphis or Nashville that had Danny's?
That is Memphis, Mike.
That's Memphis, right?
And that was the airport. Right next to the airport. Danny's a great strip club.
There are a million of these places that are right at the, it's out at the airport.
How come we don't have a strip club out at Dulles?
We really should.
On this airport commission, and basically they're trying to say that we're a strip club, we're not going to be open. They're saying that we're an auditorium and civic center, and like I say, we're going to be, planes will be crashing on us because, you know, we'll be sitting there in that building. It's hilarious. It's going
Wait. I understand about decreasing property values, but what is it about planes crashing?
Now, put it in what they're saying. What exactly are they saying?
That we're a safety hazard.
How could you be a safety hazard?
Are the girls up on the roof?
I guess the pilots will know somebody's down there and they'll want to hurry. I don't know. It's totally ridiculous and it's hilarious, but it's Greenville, South Carolina, and you just got to live around here.
Are they saying you're a safety hazard because you're in like a flight path and they don't want crowds of people?
They say they can tell people 6 miles around them what to do.
And really?
We're like not even in a runway. It is totally just.
Tell them that the women, your dancers' breasts can be used as flotation devices.
I told them that if a plane hits me, then God will get us. You know, then I would be proved that I've been sinning. You know what I'm saying?
Do you have your dancers all lined up around ready to go?
I'd ran a club before. I've got everything done. And they're trying to stop us. And it's in all the media and all the newspapers. And it's totally ridiculous.
Well,
but
the next time you're interviewed by TV or newspapers, make sure you tell them that Don and Mike from 98.1 WPEK, support you.
I told them I was going to call you. Well, you can call Mark Gelban at the Greenville Spartanburg and ask him his opinion.
Now, what will be the name of your establishment?
Carolina Girls.
What a great name for the bar.
I've got them in Oberlin and Myrtle Beach and Columbia. Yeah, I've been doing this 6 or 7 years.
What about T's R Us? You know, T word? R Us, with a backwards R like Toys R Us?
Yeah. Well, since they're calling me an auditorium, I thought about calling it Stripperama. Stripatorium. Yes, it's a common auditorium.
Welcome to the Stripatorium.
On this airport commission, there are a bunch of big.
I'm Troy McClure. Hi, I'm Troy McClure. Welcome to the Stripatorium.
Well, see, I love you guys, and I just thought you guys would want to hear. I mean, this is a prime example. I know you guys.
It's a travesty, sir. It's a travesty of justice.
It is. And I when I open up.
And furthermore, not only should all strip clubs be near the airport, that's where all of our porno should be also.
Absolutely. Yeah. Right,
you
at the airport.
Do you want to call the guy and ask him? I got his number here.
No, you can have him call us, though. We're a little too busy to call him.
I understand.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys, and keep it up, and I love listening, and I'll keep you posted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
He's getting back in his big Cadillac with the horns on the front of it.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure. I like it very much. Okay, come on now. What a minute safety hazard. Ladies, come on. Line up on it. Welcome, Carolina Girl. Aren't they beautiful?
Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Yeah. This guy's crazy, man. There's nude bars all over the place down here. They take it all the way off.
Where, in Greenville?
Yeah. Diamond.
Diamond. Well, apparently, this guy, there must be a zoning restriction near the airport that you can only have topless girls.
Yeah, well, man, they're everywhere. There's about five places around here that have totally nude.
All right, well, fantastic. Thank you.
All right, bud.
All right. And he's got a bar stool with his butt cheek imprint in every one of them.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. All right, let me try this one. Oh, it's Lutard. Hello, Lutard.
Hey, Mike, Don, good afternoon, guys.
Craig Coulthard, everybody. Hey, Craig.
What's happening, guys?
Listen, what are you doing for the next 2 months?
Trying to become successful at something.
All right, well, I just want to throw this out to you, Lutard.
I heard it on the radio.
It would take 46 days, you would make something of your life. You would garner the media attention that it's obvious you crave.
Oh, I do crave that.
Right? Can you imagine you on a roller coaster? And not only that, you get to break that idiot's record from Great Britain and bring the record back to the United States of America.
I mean, you could do something that all of America would respect you for.
You guys can sell, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you would be beating the U.K. It'd be the Revolutionary War all over again.
See, I'm watching the Today Show today, and I'm seeing that the idiot in Great Britain has finally gotten off the roller coaster after, I guess, 45 days. You know, he's been on there 2,000 hours or some ridiculous thing like that. And the guy was getting off going, hey, we're the greatest. Bloody good. He got off the thing, and he was doing that thing where he goes, hooray, with his hands clasped together.
Hey, yeah, bravo.
Thinking, I put that guy to shame.
You know, we got a guy on our show who's got nothing better to do.
Yeah, it'll only take you 2 months.
Hey, 2 months? What is 2 months? I got to ask you, though, when it's time for Louis to sleep, am I just going to toss about the cabin?
Now...
Or do I duct tape? What? How do I do that?
What do you mean? When you throw up?
No, when it's time to snooze.
No,
because 2 months without sleep would probably put a damper on Louis.
The way I understand it, please don't speak about yourself in third person. The way that I understand it is that, yes, you sleep while you're on there. You get this guy in England got the whole front seat to himself.
Right.
So he could lay down in the front seat if he wanted to. He got a 10-minute bathroom break every 3 hours, and he ate all of his meals on the roller coaster.
While going up and down and around.
Yes.
Well, now, I hate to say no to you guys. So why don't you chalk me on up?
Listen, I swear to God, you little pipsqueak, I'd be so pissed if you started this and didn't do it.
What, if I stopped? What if my...
No, you know what Don is saying to you, that if you go full-fledged with this thing, I mean, if you commit to it, then you commit to it.
Right.
If you're doubting it, you know, the sooner you bail, the better. You know, don't do what those married women did.
But let me just say that I know Lewis wants to do something to get noticed. He has said to me repeatedly that he'd do anything for the show.
Mm-hmm. As long as it's hetero.
This is something that would not involve any homosexual activity. It would put you, for goodness sakes, Lewis, in the Guinness Book of World Records. You'd be in the book with the biggest tumor.
Well, more importantly, I put the show, Don and Mike's show, in the Guinness Book of World Records, and you guys deserve it more.
I don't believe you, Lewis. I think you're doing this for your own personal gratification.
But that's okay.
That's fine.
I got to think realistically, though. 2 months, no income, what am I going to come home to? I got to think realistically.
Fame and fortune, Lewis. All right, maybe not the fortune, but at least the fame.
I can't imagine myself on a Wheaties box on a roller coaster yupping it up.
But I couldn't pitch you on a Wheaties box if you discovered the cure for cancer.
Yeah, you wouldn't be there, Lewis.
There's no Wheaties box in your future, Lewis.
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to think about the realistic obligations that I would be unable to fulfill because I'll be riding the coaster.
Right. How many obligations do you have? What? You have school, summer school, right? That's it.
School is done.
School is done. So you have
no obligations.
Well, I mean, I still have obligations to pay what I still owe school, to pay rent and all the other monthly occurrences, and that's it. That's
right.
It, really.
Okay, good. Sounds like it's a done deal.
That's right. You're in, Lewis. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye, Lewis.
Hey, hold on.
What?
There's a few unanswered questions. What am I going to do? Am I going to get sponsorship?
Yeah, we're all set. Thanks a lot, Lewis.
Okay.
Okay,
Lewis, I don't know. Listen, here's all I think. You should break the world record. The first thing we should do is find an amusement park
that would do it,
that seriously knows that we don't have someone who's fly-by-night, someone who's serious and devoted to breaking the world record like you are, right, Lewis?
Yes.
All right, and whether it be Wild World or Adventure World, whatever name they've slapped on that place this week, or
right,
if it's King's Dominion or Hershey Park.
Sure.
I know there's got to be...
Hershey Park.
There's got to be...
He said Hershey.
Some amusement park out there. You know, you got to think that this is the type of thing, after a week or two...
Sure.
You know, all the reporters would be there covering this,
Lewis,
right?
Lewis, it would be incredible.
Now, that part is very appealing. Would they feed me, do you think? Some curly fries?
I bet if we got an amusement park to go along with it,
yes,
they'd provide the food for you. It'd be great for the amusement park.
Do you think I could talk Christine to come visit?
No!
Oh.
No!
That would have been the cake.
No. All right, listen, if we find a roller coaster, are you up for it?
You're damn right.
Good man. All right, Lewis.
Way to go, Lewis.
Hold on, you retard.
I love you.
Oh, shut up, Lewis.
Lewis.
That is the very annoying Craig Coleman.
Yeah, he'll you know, he'll make it. He's the kind of guy that could do it.
Hey, I'm very serious about this. if there's someone, if you know someone that runs an amusement park,
right,
whether it be out here by D.C. or at Baltimore or even all the way out.
Sure.
Hey, bring him on. All they've got to do is give up the roller coaster.
And feed him.
For 46 days. And as Buzz said earlier with the guy from London, you can have during operating hours regular people, you know, pay to get on the roller coaster. It's just Lewis always has to be sitting in the front row.
Mm.
Right? We could really break a world record.
It would be incredible.
And by November,
right,
Lewis would be in the World Book of Records.
In time to have Thanksgiving dinner with his family.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
It's John Daly.
Hi, John.
I am Irish. I hate the Britons. I will send in $50 a month.
No, we don't need to do that.
No.
Well, why don't we just start a little thing to help him out with his, you know, his...
No, 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 thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you.
All right, it's a good idea.
Take that and buy some CBS stock.
All right.
Yeah. All right?
Yeah. All right, see you later.
Bye-bye. See you later. Well, we appreciate the sentiment.
Thank you, John Daly. Great golfer.
If, you know... If you can know somebody at the roller coaster place,
mm-hmm,
the sooner we start, the sooner we can start counting down the 46 days.
Sooner Lewis can enjoy the holidays.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello?
You're on the air right now. Hello there.
Hi, are you talking to me?
Yes, ma'am.
Fabulous. I just got in the car and they said that y'all are trying to get your dog neutered at a vet clinic, yes, on the air?
No, not at a clinic. We'd like a veterinarian to come down to our studios to neuter my dog.
Well, that still also may be possible. I need to check with my boss. That's what I told her.
Oh,
I just want to check the details before I presented it to him.
Yeah, he's a little Australian Terrier. He's, I don't know. He's
small old dog, small enough where you wouldn't need a lot of space for the procedure.
All right, got tiny little balls. He's about the size of that dog that Jack Nicholson hated in the movie with Helen Hunt.
Vernell or whatever.
Right. He's very small dog. He's a very lovable dog, but he's so horny. He's driving us crazy, and he's got to be neutered.
Right. Usually that... Once we do it, we like to keep them overnight in the hospital just for observation and to make sure that the next day that there's, you know, no infection going on.
Could you do it where you did the procedure here and then you took the dog to, you know, to the hospital?
I bet we can work that out. I need to check with him.
Okay.
I can't speak for him.
All right, well, yeah, hold on a sec. You know, obviously, I love that dog very much. That's no lie. I wouldn't do anything to hurt the dog. But
right.
I think it would be interesting to have the dog neutered on the air.
No, I think it's feasible, but I don't know. I would need to check with him.
Okay, beautiful. Hold on, please. Hey, yes. Listen, you're such a big heller, Do you know anybody who owns a roller coaster?
if I could do that for y'all too, I would. I love y'all. Sure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Hold on, please.
You know, when the vet gets here, maybe we can take advantage of any of the guys on staff that want to, you know, get neutered.
Like Lewis. I think we'd be doing a public safety if we snipped Lewis's cords.
Well, that's what we'll do if Lewis decides not to go on the roller coaster. We'll have him neutered.
Cut his balls off. Hello.
Hey, it's just a quick thing about the roller coaster.
Yeah, sorry.
He doesn't have to be sleeping with the roller coaster moving. Actually, I saw on CNN where at night it actually stopped.
So he would just stay on it?
Yeah.
Well, that's even easier.
But if Lewis would do it 24 hours a day, he could maybe break the record faster than the British guy, right?
Exactly.
Well, I think it's actually just time. You know, it doesn't matter if it's going or not. It's just the time that he's on.
So just time spent on the roller coaster.
Correct.
All right, thank you.
All right.
Well, you know, we'll get all the details about the record and what he needs to do.
I'm very serious. I think Lewis could be a world record holder.
And we get contact the Guinness people. They love that kind of stuff.
Right.
They could be on the TV show.
On the Hammer Show.
Spider come out of his mouth.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hold on a second. Hello, who's this?
I love you.
Oh, shut up, Lewis. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
Fine. How are you?
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, is Carl Grossman ever going to be on your show again?
No.
There's the guy I was looking for all along.
There you go.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi, who's this?
I just call a beautiful lady.
Dennis, you are...
This is Dennis, line number four, Dennis Murphy from the Boardwalk.
Dennis, how can you sound so mellow all of a sudden?
No, I talk a stupid Rachel, and she is fabulous.
Yeah. Once again, here's Dennis Murphy.
Hi, Ken, how you doing?
Any luck, Dennis?
Well, as of right now, no luck.
No luck, okay.
People say hello, hi, how you doing? I'm sorry.
I believe that was Dennis's suave and deboner delivery that we were hearing.
Actually, it's one of the white clown that just rolled by.
Well, he got right back up to his other level.
All right, hold on there, Dennis.
Hey, Josh wants to say hello.
Who's that?
Hold on.
Dennis is up on the boardwalk in Ocean City trying to get laid this week. Yes, hi.
I promise to get Dennis Murphy laid.
You do?
I'm here with him right now, and I have to say he is looking good. He's got the Dennis Murphy as a major pumping star.
Oh, God.
You picked the right guy there, Dennis.
Hold on.
You can't say the F word.
Effing.
You're on the radio here.
Dennis is wearing a shirt that someone made for me that says, "Dennis, I'm Dennis Murphy, I'm a major effing star," and it spells the F word, and this guy just said the F word.
Dennis's friend.
Hey, Dennis, some lifeguard, he had a lifeguard lady up here, and she was really liking him.
All right, hold on a second.
That's Josh. Josh is going to take it. Josh is like 15 years old.
Josh, help her.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I just can't believe you hired the entire staff back there.
I know. I did good, huh?
No. This would have been the perfect time to get Mrs. Upton Deadwood at the office.
Come on. Phil does a good job.
I don't mean Phil.
Oh, you mean Paula?
I'm not saying that some of these people are useless. They should be cut out of here like cancer.
Hello, children. Look at you. All back where you belong. Oh, God, does my heart good. the whole family is here.
All right, what are you going to start singing?
The Don and Mike Show.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Here's something yesterday we received a call about when we were taking just thousands of calls. Some guy called and said, did you see the article in the magazine that had the ad where you can buy a Lost in Space robot?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right, well, somebody mailed that in to us today.
Full size, right?
And here's the ad. Listen to that. We got a call just to see how many idiot guys have ordered this.
Yeah.
It says, your childhood friend comes home. For the first time, you can own an authentic Lost in Space robot.
Unbelievable what they sell these days.
But here's a picture of a guy wearing a laboratory coat.
Look at it. It's, you know, and for all of us that grew up watching that show, though, you know, you see the ad, and the first reaction you get is, hey, it really is the size of the robot.
Well, now, it's not the real robot.
Right.
Okay, what it says is full-size replica from the classic TV series.
You know it's cheap when the word replica is used.
Fully illuminated electronics, which means all these, like, 1960s-style computer lights, they all light up. They're like Christmas lights.
You know how expensive that is to make.
Mm. Edition size of only 250. So they've only got 250 of these babies.
Wow. Yeah, for collectors.
Special price, $7,999.
Unbelievable. You know, do they mention if the arms work? Because that's the big deal.
Let's see. It's cast from the original robot used in the making of the series. Constructed of fiberglass, original voiced with synchronized neon.
Uh-huh.
He also plays CDs.
Wow.
So they told me that the robot's arms didn't work, so I said F you. Signed, endorsed, and authenticated by New Line Cinema. Now, it doesn't sound like you could climb into it and make the arms move.
You know, the whole thing about that robot is warning with those arms going up and down.
And I guess that you could probably press the button and it would say, warning, danger, Will Robinson. But for $8,000?
I mean, it's basically a lamp with wheels. It's a lamp. Yeah. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah. An expensive lamp.
$7,000 lamp.
You know, not since we've had that guy on the show that was trying to sell his riding lawnmower.
Right. I still get people talking to me about that. I mean, the Green Bay Packers lawnmower?
Right. The guy wanted like $30,000 for a riding lawnmower because the Green Bay Packers had signed that. We called him and he couldn't believe that we'd be calling to give him a hard time about that.
I am astonished by how many people still remember when we did that. People say things like, did that guy really want $36,000 for his lawnmower?
And you remember what really made him mad when we would do this? He's like, it sounded like a laughing over and over. Hello?
Oh.
Here we go. Calling now. Calling Wellington, Buzz Burbank, California.
Oops. We're sorry. Your call did not go through.
All right. Obviously.
$7,000, and it really...
$8,000, really.
Yeah, $8,000. It should be able to at least do some things for you.
Mm-hmm. I don't see any way that could happen.
Hi, Con. Can I help you?
Yeah, hey, buddy. Hi, this is Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara. We're doing our national radio show right now.
How are you, Will Robinson?
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're calling to see how many guys, and I guess it could be all guys, have spent
How many what?
How many guys... have spent $8,000 to buy the Lost in Space robot.
Hold on 1 second.
Thank you.
She might be suspicious of us.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't like their tone. I think they're going to give us a hard time.
And to answer your question, I do not believe, looking at this now, and I think I know what you're saying when you asked if it did anything else.
Yeah, I mean, it should for that kind of money. There should be more electronics in it.
Oh, I thought you meant, like, sexually.
Well, that too.
To say I'm looking at it, and I don't see any way.
You wouldn't want it with those little pinchers.
No, that's sales. Can I help you?
Yes, hello. This is Don and Mike, and we're doing a national radio show right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We're calling to see how many dumbasses called up to spend $8,000 to buy the Lost in Space robot.
Is the robot selling?
The robot is selling great.
Really? You are kidding.
I can tell you.
Yeah. If you could give us a number sold, that would be great.
Well, this is a combination of paid in full and payment plans, where we sold 140 out of the 250.
Oh, my God. Imagine a payment plan. Someone is financing that. Like they finance a house or a car.
So it sounds like you're selling them like hotcakes.
We are selling them like hotcakes.
Wow.
The edition size will sell out. At the rate we're going, we'll probably be sold out by, I'd say, July.
Well, as I was mentioning before, isn't the thing basically just a lamp?
No, it's a little bit more than that because it's made out of injection molded fiberglass, resin. There's plexi bubble. There's electronic lights. There's a CD player built into it. The lights
right.
are in sync with the voice chip there.
Right. Now, we've seen that.
Dick Tufeld.
All right. Now, I'll tell you where we're coming from price-wise. We're looking at this thing and we're thinking, well, a CD player. All right, I'll give you a couple $100 for that. The electronic lights you're talking about, it's like the 1960s computer lighting, which is nothing better than like Light Bright or like Christmas lights. So I'll give you maybe $300 for the lights, and I'm being very generous there.
But that price can go up quite a bit if the arms move. Do the arms move?
Well, the arms are extendable in and out. Remember, the antenna rotate on this thing as well. The torso is movable. It runs on AC currents.
And as far as having the voice chip, you know, you can buy a greeting card that you open up that says something to you.
Except for one thing that these greeting cards don't have, and I should mention it to you. This is limited to 250. It's full size. It's a one-to-one scale replica. And it's
I'm amazed it's not...
by the three principals involved with production. Bob May, the original actor who wore the Lost in Space robot.
I like this
Dick
guy.
Dick Tufeld, who was the voice of the robot. And wow. Bob Kinoshita, who is the designer of not only that robot, but also Robbie from Forbidden Planet.
You, sir, are unflappable. And I have to give you a round of applause for that.
Very nice.
Very much.
Unfazed by our onslaught here.
But listen, seriously. At the end of the day, you guys must just sit back, kick your heels up, light a cigar, have a beer, and thank God that there are so many dumbasses in the world. Right?
You know, actually, there are so many Lost in Space fans out there, and personally, having run
dumbasses.
The sales division, I've been in contact with at least 4,000.
Wow.
I'm going to a convention in Oklahoma next week. I'm going to be in Boston next month, also Chicago for the Wizard World Comic Convention.
Are you bringing the robot with you?
I'm bringing the robot to Boston for the Visions Convention.
Do you sell them a lot of them at the conventions?
Well, we were in New Jersey, back in April, and I sold about 8. We brought the robot there. And
oh, my God. You sold 8 of them. Hold on. Let me do the... Wait. Let me... You sold $64,000 worth of Lost in Space robots in one evening?
Actually, it was a 3-day weekend.
Oh, my God.
Now, listen, I know you're not going to tell me this, but the point I was trying to get to is it looks to me like maybe that I'm going to be very generous. Thing maybe cost you $700 or $800 to put together.
You're being
not
very.
At all. If you want to be honest with it, with all the materials, the parts, the fiberglassing that's involved, this is a very solid piece. The actual cost of the robot is running close to $4,500. $4,500 to $5,000.
Oh, you're
so
not.
This is a big markup item, and when you factor in labor,
get out of town.
Taxes and what have you. It's all the labor of love we're doing.
This is the best salesman I have heard in a long time.
He's a good sales guy. If a sales guy tells you that it costs like. What did they cost? Like $5,000?
Yeah, he said four and a half.
You can bet it really costs one-fourth of that.
Well, I have to tell you this, that we have quite a few celebrities who have bought this thing. Many actors, people, sports figures.
Right, celebrities, people with so much money they don't know what to do with. Like, I'd be curious to know, who are some of these celebrities who've purchased? Can you tell us? Anybody really famous?
I could tell you, but I shouldn't really because I don't know where this is going out to, and I don't want to come.
Well, out all over America.
Say this is a national show. We're in over 50 markets. We have 4 million listeners, and because you're being nice, I'll give you a plug at the end where you can give your phone number if any of our dumbass listeners want to buy one of these things.
So you can't tell us even...
I see you have a lot of respect for your clientele, though.
Well, I know my audience.
So could you share with us maybe one showbiz luminary who has purchased the robot?
A showbiz luminary? What, you mean by like a movie star or something?
Well, you said some famous people have bought them.
A celebrity.
Well, I don't know if it'd be famous in your market. It wouldn't be famous to the general public, but people who have been professionals in the business and celebrities who have...
Well, give us one. Even if it's like someone who's lame, like Ronnie Schell.
He bought one, didn't he? It was Ronnie Schell, wasn't it?
I confirmed that. I don't even know who Ronnie Schell is.
Yeah, there you go. I think you've crystallized it.
He was a bid player on Gomer Pyle, USMC.
Oh, my God. I banished that from my memory. So.
Who would be the most likely celebrity to buy one of these robots? I'm trying to think. Who would you think would be
on the
list?
I bet there's an athlete like Shaquille O'Neal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure if he found out about it or Jerry Seinfeld found out about it, they probably would buy one.
Did Michael Jackson?
Superman collector, so I'm sure this would be right up his alley, too.
Did Michael Jackson buy one?
Not yet, but we're waiting to hear from him.
Jerry Seinfeld is probably perfect, right?
Billy Mumy?
Well, Bill Mumy does signature edition Lost in Space pistols for us.
Ah.
So he's actually one of our family. So many of the other people from Lost in Space.
How much do the pistols go for?
$399 retail.
$399.
Do they shoot real lasers?
It has a simulated laser on the end, yes.
You mean it has a...
If you were going to buy the original prop at an auction, you would be charged probably close to $25,000 for that. If you're going to buy the robot, which you couldn't because it doesn't exist except for the original one, which is starting to deteriorate, it could go for as much as $250,000. So this is as close
right,
to get
sure.
someone to get one
yeah.
of these things.
I got it. You're like the Price Club of this business. I got you. You're like the Walmart. I understand.
Look at this. It's limited to 250.
Right.
We're going to sell out real fast.
Yeah.
And after that, the price will be well over $12,000. So for most people, this is considered an investment.
They're going to sell 250, and then they're all going to go buy some island in the Bahamas together.
I'll tell you one thing. Our sales manager wants to talk to you. He wants to hire you immediately.
Sounds good.
Well,
Frankly,
we're in D.C.
D.C., huh?
Frankly, we are amazed that you sold one of these things, but I'll give you a plug for $7,999. What is your phone number?
Our phone number here is 818-982-6175.
And how many do you have left for all those people Don mentioned that might want to call an order?
Well, not counting any recent mail-ins that I haven't received, we have about 100 left.
Down to their last 100 now.
100 robots just sitting in the factory waiting to decorate your living room.
Oh, my God. That means they're going to make $800,000 on those. Oh, my God. Oh!
The station that you guys are calling from?
God! $800,000 for selling crappy robots.
Hey, good work if you can get it, right?
It's amazing.
What are the call letters for your station?
We're on, like I said, we're on over 50 stations.
Oh, okay, so.
We're on the Westwood One Radio Network, the Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Don and Mike, okay.
All right, thank you.
And good luck with your robot. Thanks for answering all our questions.
Thank you, sir.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
That was a good salesman. You got to hand it down.
Where's this music coming from?
And the robot is making his way to the platform.
Hold on, that's my mistake. I see. They have... See, the Olympic fanfare is right after Lost in Space on the CD.
You know, for my money, I never think the Olympic fanfare is inappropriate for any type of radio.
Mm-hmm.
I think it just flows naturally.
All right, welcome to Date That Robot.
And this is, it says this is Tom Jones, but this was just a theme, right? Just...
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
It's not unusual to have fun with anyone.
I love that song, too.
Here's another one.
That and the Olympic theme. I mean, put that on a continuous loop. I'll play it in my car.
This is a theme to laugh in. It sounds like one of those shows should be a Quinn Martin production.
Yeah, right.
With Barnaby Jones.
And his rooster neck.
Oh, hold on a second here. Here's a guy who bought a Darth Vader.
Oh, cool.
From the same company. Hello, welcome to the show, Mr. Jackass. I mean, trusted listener.
Well, I didn't spend $8,000 on anything. You know, Darth Vader from Star Wars, big hero of mine.
Mm-hmm.
I bought a lightsaber from this company, and the quality of the stuff that they replicate, it's absolutely excellent. So I can see where it's worth it if I'd never thought Lost in Space was worth it, but...
Yeah, but Star Wars is worth it.
The stuff they make is actually worth the prices they're charging.
Right.
They're definitely a good company.
If you don't mind, how much did you pay for your light sword?
Well, I'm in like a club membership with them because we bought a couple other things.
Sure.
But
what other things? Tell us everything you've purchased.
chakram from the Xena warrior princess, her weapon, the round frisbee type thing.
Magic like that.
Darth Vader lightsaber replica, little display stand. That's on the mantle at home.
That's on the mantle at home.
Yeah, definitely.
You mean your mother's house?
No, not my mother's house. Actually, you know, I had to start making real money to buy these things because the little action figures kind of got old after 20 years.
Well, how much did the light sword cost?
That was $350. The only one problem, though, is the blade doesn't actually turn on.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a lightsaber after all that?
No. I thought I'd be able to go around slashing up animals and all kinds of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Jackass.
Thanks, Jackson.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you,
bye.
Mr. Pumpkin.
Bye-bye.
Wow. Rupert Pumpkin. Mom!
At least he got the club.
It's not Pumpkin. It's Rupert Pumpkin, right?
Pumpkin, yes. Pumpkin. Rupert Pumpkin.
Hello, Donna Mike.
Hi, is this Don?
Yes, and Mike.
Hi, Don. This is Aaron. I'm a first-time caller.
Hey, Aaron, baby.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
It's going to be my 30th birthday tomorrow, and I wanted to see if you would give me my birthday spanking.
I'll be glad to. You know, we've had so much bottom action on the show this week.
Already. I know. I heard earlier this week. I listen to you guys every day on my way home from work.
Way to go, Aaron.
And I remember back when you were on in the mornings on the other radio station.
Oh, good, thanks. Listen, who's the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Well, I just asked my boyfriend because he said that you would probably ask me that. And he said that I look like Valerie Bertinelli with short hair.
Wow. Oh, yes, mommy. All right, well, please be a good girl and pull your pants down.
Okay. And I'm in the car, so this is going to be kind of difficult.
Slide them down by the gas pedal.
You can do it. Others have.
Well, he's driving.
Oh, good. Oh, good. All right. And then your underpants.
Okay.
Sanitary Valentine time.
You want to get up on that seat and point your buttocks towards the dashboard.
Then I'm going to moon everybody.
That's all right.
That's all right. I'll be using the ice pick on you.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Okay.
How old are you today, Aaron?
No, I'm going to be 30 tomorrow.
30. All right. Here we go. One, two, three. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15.
There you go. All right, here we go.
You're ready.
Like OJ.
I'm what? Okay. You ready, Aaron? Here's some more.
All right, I'm ready.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26. 27, 28, 29, 30.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And when you wake up tomorrow, you know.
I'm going to be sore.
Yes, your butt will be bleeding.
Oh, my God.
And all you know is that you had some cranberry juice and you asked people about the show.
And they decided that they were going to, you know, with her.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, Don.
Yeah.
Don, sorry, we're not one of the mad Brits that are calling to bust your chops, but we recognise that you've got some pretty serious screening techniques for getting through to your show. I'm now very pleased that we got through, and I just want to let you know that
it's UK Friday, Don.
What the hell is this?
Well, you should be thankful. You're now not nationally syndicated, but internationally syndicated, because clearly you're appealing to people outside the United States as well.
I'm telling you, this show would go over so big in Britain.
Oh, absolutely.
Mike and I have been to Britain. We were friends for a while with a guy on Capital Radio over there.
I used to do the best American accent. There's nothing funnier than a British guy doing an American accent. That makes me laugh every time I hear it.
But generally, you know, your country is a weak second sister to America.
Oh, now see, we weren't going to get aggressive or feisty, but if you...
Well, I can't help it. I'm aggressive 24 hours a day.
That's right. We won that little thing we call the Revolutionary War. Kicked your butt.
That's very cute. You try to be like, you know, you're like America Junior.
But I'm keen to know, getting off that, because it will go absolutely nowhere. And if I do try a rebuttal, then you're going to put the phone down on me anyway, so I can't win.
A rebuttal.
That's what I like about a British guy. He says, hey, I know I'm going to lose.
Right.
Just like we've lost everything.
Sure.
So I'll give in to the great, powerful Americans.
So there's no need for a rebuttal. So you are going to change the subject.
I tell you what, Mike. The writing will be on the wall in a couple of weeks' time. In fact, in less than a couple of weeks' time, a couple of days' time, when America gets slaughtered by Germany in the first round, and England are still there in the semis and the final.
Oh, so not one of them World Cup calls, one of them soccer calls we're getting today.
Oh, come on.
Let's face it. It's the only... I mean, let's face it. You are a powerhouse in sport, but in soccer terms, you're trying to rewrite the copybooks. You call a penalty kick a PK.
Oh, come on. Soccer's a fag sport. What are you talking about?
Mr. Bean.
You call a penalty kick a PK. What are you doing trying to rewrite the books? Excuse me, I wanted my meat boiled.
Hold on, we're coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The green grass of the outfield, the crushed brick of the infield, and the white chalk lines that divide the man from the little boy.
Please, honey, you're forgetting the beer. It comes in 72-ounce tubs here.
Well, I hope you'll space out the tubs this year, Homer.
What are you getting at?
Well, last year you got a little rambunctious and ruined the poor umpire.
Marge, this ticket doesn't just give me a seat. It also gives me the right, no, the duty, to make a complete ass of myself. Right?
Say.
I'm sorry I started. You were too late.
Not too late, I hope.
A minute or two. Were you tied up with anything?
No, sorry, I'm just late.
I ordered you the porterhouse.
Oh, no, I don't eat meat. I'll just have the penny.
You should. You can really try the steak. Ask
no, thank
Hugo
you.
To bring
no,
it on
no,
the
no.
outside.
Have you seen this?
Of my file on you, Senator.
Mm-hmm.
How did you get it?
Have you read it yet?
How did you get it?
What do you have to say for yourself?
With all due respect, I'm Senator. It doesn't matter what I have to say for myself.
Oh, it doesn't. Well, it seems to me, Mr. Chairman, that all you can claim about me... Claim... is that I had sex while...
Deviant sex.
Oh, who deviant? Who says it was deviant?
I do. And what I say, the American people will believe. And you know why? Because I'll have a very big microphone in front of me.
Do you like rap music?
Yeah, I like rap.
You like rap music? Well, turn around real slow then. I'm from the Rap Coalition of America. Take that gun off and throw it over there. Throw the gun over there. If you like rap music so much, how come you ain't smiling?
I'm smiling.
Smile real big.
I'm smiling.
And let's do a rap together.
Go ahead.
Yo, baby, yo. Say, ow.
Yeah, ow.
The Don and Mike Show.
Expertly aged like a fine cheddar. The best of Don and Mike.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is Gladys. I was holding on forever and I got disconnected.
Is this Gladys Kravitz?
Oh, who is this?
This is
Don.
This is Don and Mike.
You guys pick up my name. First, I want to say that I love you. Anyway.
So this is not Gladys. Gladys Kravitz has a very distinct way of speaking.
This is Gladys Alicia, okay?
Oh, Gladys
and
Alicia.
And I'm calling to tell you that I love you.
We love you.
Regardless of how much you make fun of my name, because I've called once before, and I also wanted to let you know
that
if you continue to tutor your child in Spanish, he's going to flunk. Your pronunciation...
Pronunciation.
No.
You mean pronunciation.
Pronunciation. How do you say
no?
Snow?
It's not pronunciation. It's pronunciation.
Stop it. How do you say
Nieva.
No. Nieve.
Hey, ma'am, if you're going to correct...
Oh, that's right. The B sounds like it's Nieve.
And if you're going to correct, I'm going to correct. I mean, at least you might want to work on English before you start tutoring Spanish.
I have a Bachelor of Arts in English, sir.
Well, you don't know how to say pronunciation.
Well, let me say this. I'm just having a really bad day. I had a mammogram today, and they found some lumps in my breast.
Oh, now listen.
Oh, my God.
So I'm not...
But you cannot use the fact that I... believe me, I'm with you.
All right.
I'm with you. But you don't call up to lecture me about tutoring my son, helping my son with his homework, and then throw it off just because they found that.
Well, I'm not doing that because they found that. I just said that I'm a little off.
Oh, boy.
So, but anyway, it's Nieve and newspaper.
Okay.
What was your pronunciation of newspaper?
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation. Is that better?
It sounds like periodical.
It's a periodico.
Right. Listen, I'm doing the best I can, okay?
I know. You got stuck with a bad job.
So you've had a very bad day, is that it?
I'm amazed. If that is true, I am amazed that you have the wherewithal to call us. I mean, I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that's an incredible... optimistic outlook.
It sounds like you're coping rather well. I hope everything goes well for you.
Well,
somebody told me that the last thing I would do would be call a radio show.
Well, you made me laugh with your story about your wife. That was funny.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, you know, the good news is this show has medicinal powers. If you heard the guy that severed his fingers before, he did not go into shock because he was listening to this show, so you should continue to listen to us.
I will. I always do, every day.
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
And good luck with the tutoring. Huh?
Thanks.
I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
I hope everything works out for
you. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't want to say this with her on the line in case it was true, but...
Sure.
I don't get that.
Yeah, that's kind of weird.
You know, I just think that she wanted an out.
Yes, that, you know, and this may sound cold to a lot of you, but we have found that it is an argumentative strategy.
We've had guys say to us before, hey, I have cancer.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as it starts going south for them with their point of view, you know, bingo, they throw the major disease in there.
Yeah, that'll stop an argument right away.
Because then, you know, they expect everybody to go... Oh, gee, well,
cancer? Hey, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the world's worst tutor. See you later. Goodbye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
We used to let that throw us.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Hello.
Hi.
This
is Kara from Roanoke.
Hello, Kara.
Kara, like Jimmy the Intern's Kara?
Yes.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, nice. Bueno, our boots. Dieva.
Thank you.
Snow.
Snow.
Ooh.
How are you, Kara?
Listen, my son may not know how to say snow or winter, but he knows how to say good bush. Bueno arbusto. So I said, for any question you get in Spanish that you don't know, the answer is bueno arbusto.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll keep that in mind.
Bueno arbusto.
Ooh, bueno.
Bueno.
So, to what do we owe this call?
Well, I just thought I'd say hello and see how you all are doing. I haven't talked to you for so long. And I am not getting the show, as usual.
Hey, everybody, it's the girl.
Oh.
That's right, the girl who teased Jimmy the intern when he was with our show.
Yeah. Oh, come on, guys. That's
teased him with her incredibly great model, Melrose Place, 90210 type looks.
Absolutely, and poor Jimmy was just so smitten, but he didn't know how to handle you.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I certainly had the best of intentions, but... I wanted to tell you, I spoke with him today, in fact.
Yes.
And he told me that you all had a wonderful visit out in San Diego.
Yeah, although he didn't know where to drive. He didn't know whether to take a right or a left turn in San
Diego. I got real mad at him.
Well, he didn't tell me that part.
And I was so nice because when I saw Jimmy, I was like, Jimmy, how are you? So good to see you. And then as the evening progressed, remember it started out great, Rob, didn't it? And then as the evening progressed, it was like, Jimmy, okay, well, don't you know where you're going? Well, maybe you should have gone, Jimmy, for God's sake! Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Oh, geez. Well, he did not mention that, but I said save all your stories for when you visited with the guys until I see you this week.
Oh, you're going out there to see him?
Yes.
Oh. You are heartless.
Actually, heartless. No, okay.
You know what? He should use the same tactic on you that I used on my wife.
What's that?
He should say to you, listen, you just want to be my friend. And I don't want to be your friend. I got plenty of friends. If you want to have a relationship with me, that's fine. Otherwise, F you.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah. Hey.
I only mean that.
Never talk to me like that.
Well, of course, not those exact words. When I said that to my wife, I didn't say F you, but that's what I was saying in so many words. Because my wife, I think if I gave her the chance... She would play me the same way that you are playing Jimmy the intern.
Look, no. That's
so are you going out specifically to visit him?
No.
Oh.
No. And
you never are. What, are you going out for some opera thing?
No, not this.
Modeling job?
Possibly. You guys are ruthless. No, I'm going...
A DT convention?
What?
Yeah.
You know DT. You know you're a DT. A
bunch of beautiful women in a convention hall together. Hi, how's your year been going? Just super. So you're not going out specifically to see him?
No, I told him actually right before you guys are going to go out and see him that I was planning on coming out, and I said, yeah, tell the guys that I said hi.
Listen, this is so cool. This guy is so much in love with this girl, and this girl plays with him like the way a cat plays with a ball of yarn.
Exactly. Oh, come on.
You know what would really be a nice thing for you to do? It would be a very nice thing for you to sleep with him when you go out to San Diego.
Really?
Mike.
Yeah, really. It'd be great. You would just make...
He wants it so much.
You know, he's living at home. He's not all that happy.
Oh. Well, you know what? He's got a really big interview this week.
Oh, is it
SeaWorld? We know all about
it. No, it's at NBC.
Oh, really?
Yes. We had thought that he was up for some kind of PR position at SeaWorld.
Yeah, that's the last I heard. That's what he was trying to do.
Maybe he's just lying to you so you'll sleep with him.
No.
Maybe he's not going to tell you he's a talent coordinator, desperate that might do it.
No, actually, he was on his way out the door to another interview, but he said he had another one coming up with NBC because he knows the guy's nephew.
I got to call Jimmy, and I got to tell him how to play this girl.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I just got to tell him to apply the fruit of strategy to say, listen, you're a wonderful girl. I really like you, but... You know, I don't want to be like Jerry and Elaine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to be friends.
Or we could just eliminate all the games altogether, and you could simply fly out to San Diego and get off the plane and sleep with Jimmy.
Yeah. That would be romantic.
The crowd loved that. Yeah. Did you hear that sigh?
They're behind you.
That's great.
This is absolutely painful.
Oh, you love it.
That's too bad for a beautiful girl like you. You should go through a little pain. You should find out what the rest of us ugly people have to go through.
Well, you guys, I mean, you really have great hearts, and I appreciate it.
Well, you know what would make us really happy is if we got a call like in the next 2 weeks from Jimmy.
Yeah.
And Jimmy said Kara came out and she slept with me.
I scored,
and it, boy.
Yes, it would be.
Yeah.
All right, well, you go out there and play with him like I know you will.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Tease him.
It's never been like that.
Get yourself all fixed up and like sit like close that. To him and do all that stuff that he told us. And
then you'll leave after your visit, and he'll say something like, okay, great, good seeing you. It was really fun. Have a good trip, Kara. And then he'll go back into his room, and he will sob.
Yeah. Pound his fist into his pillow.
That's right. No, he won't.
Yes, he will.
His grandma... Jimmy, what's wrong?
Go away, Grandma!
That's really scary, because that sounds just like her.
Was that the girl that you're in love with?
Grandma, I don't want to talk about it!
Oh, she's very attractive, Jimmy.
Grandma, I don't want to, I just want to die!
Did she sleep with you?
Grandma!
Did she sleep with you, Grandson?
No, she blew me off!
Open the door.
Oh, no, Grandma, leave me alone!
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, it's like when I told you when I was in the studio last, that whole game thing that he told you, he just wanted to look good for you guys.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just know that it's a very, very sad, sad story.
You're a girl who could be on a show like Melrose Place, and he's a guy who's head over heels for you, and you will have nothing to do with him romantically.
It's just a very tragic tale. But, of course, if you want to relay it to us in person sometime, feel free to stop by.
Come on down. We'll stare at you for about a half hour.
Well, I'll tell you what. If I'm in town after I get back from my trip, I'll stop by.
All right. Good. Yeah. Good. All right, after you leave him in even worse shape than he's in right now.
I promise I'll give you a full report.
Because maybe he's forgotten. You know, maybe absence has made the heart grow just a little less fonder.
This visit could kill him.
So you've got to fly out there just to reinforce how hot you are and then leave him again.
Brilliant move for Jimmy would be when she arrives out there. Kara, when you arrive out there, the brilliant move would be for Jimmy to meet you at the airport or meet you at the door with another woman there. That would be the idea, even if he had to pay for her.
Right, yeah, sure.
Even if it's his mother.
Get yourself a real high-class hooker.
Listen, you guys, he promised that he would go to church with me Sunday night.
Oh.
Listen, who says a guy can't get a little in church? You know what I mean? At least he gets to sit next to you, and maybe like he could rub his leg up against yours.
Absolutely.
No, I have to sing. So he's coming to the service with me.
Oh, so he has to sit out there like in the pew while you're up on the altar? Oh, man.
You are a Cruella de Vil. Oh, you're the worst. Okay, goodbye, Kara.
Have a great week, guys.
Bye-bye. Listen to her.
Get trained up.
She's happy.
Always happy.
Got her venom ready. Going to break another guy's heart.
That's right. And Jimmy will be out there going, oh, you sang beautifully tonight.
Ooh. I love you. And then she'll say, well, we can only be friends. Because I get my kicks from letting guys down. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don.
Yeah.
Mike.
Hi.
Buzz.
Yes, buddy.
How's it going? Mike, I just wanted to let you know, everyone that has a GED is not as stupid as the girl that called in earlier.
Hey, yeah, that's right, Mike.
I think the only reason she got her GED is because she gave the test giver a Monica.
I never got a GED. I got a GB. Well, thank you for enlightening me personally.
Well, you made a downgrading comment.
Yes, you did, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate it when you do that.
Do you mean
downgrading?
Do you mean a disparaging comment?
No, downgrading, Mike. You made a downgrading comment,
a disparaging remark, or a downgrading
on the line.
That's right. Absolutely. I apologize for making that comment.
Okay.
I hope your tears turns to laughter.
The more you beg, the better the chances are.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Ain't Goodbye. Got no time for you anymore.
I love that when they think you said stuff. Sorry, we're out of time.
Can we meet again? Sammy Davis Jr. saying, yeah.
Be kind. Be nice. And I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.